Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
When I was growing up, they told us, oh, like, you guys are more prone to diabetes, or you guys are more prone to heart disease. But it wasn't until I was about 23 years old that people in my life actually started to pass away from this. That's really the point behind Supermarket, is just eradicating this unnecessary amount of death that happens that can be fixed with just food.
There's about 119 liquor stores in South LA, and there's only 91 grocery stores. So there are swaths in the community where there are no grocery stores. Yet you could easily go buy an extra value meal or a combo somewhere. It's easier to find a soda than an apple.
We're a low-cost organic grocery that makes it affordable for people to eat well in Los Angeles' food desert. We provide fresh fruits and vegetables. Everything we serve is 100% organic. And in addition to produce, we also carry staples like nuts, dates, coconut oils. During the COVID crisis, we did a big giveaway where we were giving out like beans and rice and lentils and things that are shelf stable. So there already was an issue with food access, and the COVID crisis made that very apparent.
Families that live in low-income residences, they may not have access to foods or stores like Whole Foods and some of these other stores that are well-known for having fresh vegetables and other options. There may be more convenience stores, corner stores, stores that may actually have canned good items with a lot of salt in them. That may not be the best option for you if you have high blood pressure.
This also speaks to many years and generations of disenfranchised realities for South LA. One of the interesting facts about the 92 riots as an outcome was South LA created coordinated lists of things that they needed as a community to sort of rebuild. And one of the major asks during this time in terms of rebuilding was more grocery stores. What was talked about in 92 has been unfulfilled since.
Those are the same demographics of people who in multiple states are the ones with the highest rates of these chronic conditions. So I think this has just unveiled things that have been there for decades that we have had blinders on, but COVID-19 unveiled it in such a way that you don't have the luxury, no matter how privileged you are, you don't have the luxury to ignore it.
If you can't control what's on your fork, you can't control your lifespan, you can't control how you feel on a day-to-day basis, you can't control your life. The work that we do is really to liberate communities across America eventually from the issues that they're plagued with health and access.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Tuesday, December 1, 2020, so I have been told. All about the cheddar biscuits today. Man, Woo! Eat well. Use logic. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast. Hopefully we will have something constructive to offer for folks tuning in. That was so wacky. The audio segment that we heard to start off with. I said, man, our timing has been... Did you hear? That report was in the LA Times. They were talking about how COVID-19 this year, everything with the pandemic in California has been hit hard repeatedly. They've got the new... They have so many new restrictions. The San Francisco 49ers have been kicked out of the state. NFL can't even play a game in San Francisco because of the Rona. What a year it has been. But that report was in the LA Times just maybe Sunday, I think, within the last couple of days. And as you heard, they were talking about how COVID-19 has impacted areas with non-white people, even though they didn't use that language, urban areas and all the rest of it, pussyfooting. But talking about non-white areas predominantly, that food deserts and not having access to high-quality foods, they don't have a Whole Foods on every corner. Did you hear the beginning part of the report? They said they have more liquor stores than grocery stores. Not that I'm stunned, and not that I know anything about that at all. I've talked for years about being spoiled here in Seattle. I went to the grocery store today and hooked it all up. Cheddar biscuits. Yeah, I don't know anything about that. I lived in California, and when I stayed there, we had there were at least two, maybe even three, grocery stores that were within like a 3-4 block radius of my residence. However, for many other people, all you had to do was move a few miles over, and that started to change drastically. It started to be long distances to getting to grocery stores, depending on where you live. But anyway, within all of that, they said, man, way, way back many, 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 many moons ago, we had the riots about Rodney King. And they came up about the beating of Rodney King and subsequent acquittal of the officers, race soldiers. And they said they had a list of things to help solve problems, improve in quality of life for black people like the late Rodney King. And one of the things on that list was grocery stores. And they still don't have them. Still at this late date, whole new century, and we still trying to get those grocery stores. They didn't even say a Whole Foods, just a grocery store. Embarrassing. That is, though, why we are doing the program for this evening. Before we segue, man, frickin' Rodney King, can you believe it? We are reading Orenthal James Simpson, the account as told by Jeffrey Toobin, his book, The Run of His Life, The People First, O.J. Simpson. I'm loving it. Looking forward to Thursday. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Our second section, lots of Rodney King talk all throughout that text. That's why I said I can't believe it. Like at this moment, we're more to come on Rodney King, Orenthal James, and California, L.A., all of that. We will continue our SoCal theme in 2 days. Cannot wait. Woo. Reading, more important than watching television. Book club. Anywho, you can share, let people know that we're on live. If you think it would be constructive for people to hear tips about eating well, and particularly getting your children to eat well, share, let people know that we're on live. The number is 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. You can share the number, share the link so people can listen online. We are at Facebook, facebook.com/theproblemiswhitepeople. Mark Zuckerberg and company deleted one of our Facebook pages, but we have many other groups. I have my page as well that I just gave out. You can always follow there. I always post the events generally at least a day in advance, so you can see the upcoming broadcasts, times, guests, all that good stuff. facebook.com/theproblemiswhitepeople. Also on Twitter @UntilJustice. Anywho, cheddar biscuits, man. I don't know if Red Lobster is defunct. I don't know if Red Lobster is open due to the Rona. Maybe they're doing curbside and Uber Eats and all the rest of it. I don't know. I do not eat out in general, and I do not eat out really at all since the Rona. I was just talking to a black female about that here in Seattle, because they have a number of wonderful vegan outlets, even some black-owned. No eating out for Gus T since the Rona. But they have all the wonderful food options, places that you can go out to get food and what have you. I guess Red Lobster is here. I don't know. I feel like I've seen a Red Lobster here in Seattle. But if you put a gun to my head, I'm like, take me to the nearest Red Lobster, Gus T. Man, if I don't have my phone or my computer close by, like, woof, I would struggle. Like, I guess I haven't eaten at a Red Lobster since I've been in Seattle. And then last few years or so, I've been vegan, so I wouldn't be going to a Red Lobster. But I do remember the cheddar biscuits. Victims, enemies, ladies and gentlemen, attempted. Gus T had vegan cheddar biscuits before we went live. Not just vegan cheddar biscuits. I had, let me give the full, since this is a food program, we do that a lot, like, what did you eat? So I had vegan cheddar biscuits, salad with ranch dressing, homemade ranch dressing, and cheddar broccoli soup, obviously vegan. Pictures will be on the blog. It was absolutely amazing. I was stunned. This was the first time that I made the vegan cheddar biscuits. I hadn't had them in years, so I was a little bit skeptical, like they're not going to taste, you know, the way and blah, blah, blah and all that, but they were cheesy. Whew. Red Lobster would be, I don't know, envious, upset about the competition. I don't know, but that is what Gusty had. I was literally licking my fingers before we went live, finishing off my vegan cheddar biscuit. Anywho, all of this about food, that's what we're talking about for the broadcast. And I'll explain what prompted this all of a sudden. I will just say with food, I've been saying we had, you know, the Cows Counter-Racist Yoga Retreats. We've had Dr. Ruby Lathan on the program many times. We read Dr. Layla Africa's Nutricide, the worst book ever, earlier this year. And even though that book is horrible, it did have one or two tidbits about healthful eating, more fruits, vegetables, drinking more water, not consuming a lot of sugar and white flour and all the rest of it, trying to do better about what we eat. We've invested a lot of time. Mwebe Ashanti was on the program a few years back. We did a book review of William Duffy's Sugar Blues, which is actually mentioned in Nutricide some years back. Lots of great information there as well. Just lots of different guests and times that we tried to emphasize that, as well as the yoga retreats about eating correctly. Mr. Fuller, certainly. Dr. Kanban, Dr. Welsing, a number of our guests have talked about the importance eating correctly. Race soldiers, they love, love, love pile up those McDonald's and liquor stores and the dollar store so you can go in there and get some Twinkies and some other nine. And no apples, that's what they said in the report. Can't find an apple. Have to put you on a scavenger hunt to find an apple, but liquor store, St. Ives, got that. We got that by the barrel. Don't worry about that. Cigarette, get you some Newports. We got that by the barrel, too. An apple? What? I don't know how to spell apple. Anywho, as I said, many, many folks, Mr. Fuller included, have talked about the importance of eating correctly as being a crucial component to counter racism, replacing white supremacy with justice. That is at the core of this broadcast. Just for added emphasis, I guess, a few other little tidbits. I have been vegan for the last, I don't remember, since the flood. So close to 3 years. That, you know, no meat products, no dairy, all the rest, lots of fruits, veggies, all that good stuff. In addition, I generally do organic. They talked about that in the clip, having a store available that is not Whole Foods, where you don't have to spend $20 for an apple or a tomato, where you have affordable organic produce, quality organic produce. Generally organic, and I think we've done almost exclusively organic at all of the retreats thus far. In addition to that, I do not do microwaves. I just, you know, if you're going to go through all that to be picky about what you eat and reading labels and trying to get organic, you don't want all those pesticides and chemicals in your food. You want to get natural produce, whole foods, plant-based diets. That's the way that you want to try to be. Why mess all that up and then come back and dump a whole lot of chemicals and radiation on your food with the frickin' microwave? I used microwaves growing up, absolutely. That was a part until I started hearing like, oh, maybe no microwave. Maybe, you know, you can just use the oven. I do have an air fryer that is superb for reheating foods. You can actually do cooking there as well, but it's also awesome for reheating foods and reheating them better so they'll be closer to the way they, you know, came fresh out of the oven or off the stove or whatever it is, as opposed to just putting it in the microwave and it's, you know, just. But yeah, no microwaves, just trying to be better about preparing food, how we eat food, what foods we eat, how we value the whole ritual of food consumption. So no microwaves as well. Baby steps, if that's a lot, if you've been, you know, eating McDonald's and hot dogs and all the rest and microwaving food, as Gus T did for many, many years, no judgment, just saying it can be a lot to try to change all that at once, but just make sure I include that as well. I've talked a lot about being vegan, no dairy, no meat, blah, 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 all the rest of it. And I don't even think I talked about that at the retreat. No microwave either. Let's see, and no preservatives. I said I'd do the organic. Dr. Lathan talked about that in great detail. She's been on the program many, many times. She has the great distinction, at least in my opinion, of being the last non-white guest that we've had on the program for the time being. I have to see who comes on next. But until then, it was Dr. Lathan, and she put so much time and great effort. She is a certified nutritionist, and talking about all those dyes and chemicals and why you might want to spend an extra quarter or two to get the organic bananas, the organic onions, the organic leeks, whatever it is, to avoid all those chemicals and pesticides and whatever else that they put on your food. And just a lot of the food that's got those preservatives and chemicals in it, they load all that extra sugar and salt in it to mask the taste where they've cut corners, because you'll find some products, I think it was like a shredded cheese that they had some years ago, they were putting like sawdust in it, or it was a Parmesan cheese, I think, they were putting like sawdust and all this other nonsense in it. Non-GMO organic produce, whole-based, plant-based eating, whole foods, plant-based eating can do wonders to help mitigate the Rona, keep that weight down, diabetes, heart disease, all of that can do wonders to have you in better shape, better immune health, and just feeling better as you go about your day and trying to solve the problem. Cheddar biscuits. Before I even push into the exact topic for what the whole broadcast of today is, I will emphasize also, I heard some folks saying, because they've heard me talk now for almost 3 years about being vegan, and man, that's important. Justice, her time here, she was vegan as well. We've got a number of folks who tied that together, as it should be. And some people have said, you know, man, I could feel the vegan, you know, trying to eat more plants and incorporate more fruits and vegetables into my diet. You know, that's sensible. You're not the first, you know, person to come along and say that, Gus T. Right on. But some folks have said, man, it's a little bit difficult with the cooking. I don't have too much experience with the cooking, or I don't have recipes, or, you know, I just don't have a lot of time for cooking, or I didn't grow up with that. That's not my strong suit at this point. We even had some folks who said, I'm making the transition. It's great. I've lost weight. I see the benefits of it, but I'm missing a few things. You know, like I used to, I heard sweets specifically. Folks saying, man, I miss, you know, being able to get sweet potato pie or a good dessert, you know, a good chocolate cake or something, man. Like, I miss all that, not being able to have dairy and milk and all the rest of it. Man, to all of that, I say, number one, how do we start this off? The cheddar biscuits. That's what I had today, in addition to broccoli cheddar soup, salad with ranch dressing that I made, and dessert. Don't think Gus T is not going to have dessert when the program is done. For dessert, pumpkin pie made fresh. And with the dessert specifically, because like I said, I think that was even on a program where someone said, man, it's tough. I can't get a donut anymore. I can't get a milkshake. maybe you don't get to live in Seattle, right? If you live in Seattle, you live in Los Angeles, or California, excuse me, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., some of the other big cities, it will be easy. New York City, Philadelphia, it'll be easy to get anything you want. Vegan ice cream, all kinds of vegan confectionery items, candies, cakes, pastries, whatever you want. Pistachio ice cream, absolutely. Red velvet cake, absolutely. However, even if Gusty did not live in wonderful Seattle, where they do have vegan bakeries and vegan ice cream parlors and all kinds of vegan treats at the store. They had vegan donuts. They have a vegan donut shop here as well, but then they have vegan donuts at the grocery store and all the rest of it. Just since August, okay, I'm not doing a half a year, just since August, I'm really kind of stopping at the yoga retreat we had in Washington, D.C., I have had, let's see, sweet potato pie, banana pudding, pineapple upside down cake, salted caramel pecan cinnamon rolls, best in the world. I was never even foolish about cinnamon rolls, but the salted caramel pecan cinnamon rolls, signature. Let's see, just since August, what else? Chocolate peanut butter ice cream, that was ridiculous. Since August, chocolate chip cookies. Anything else since August? Banana pudding with vanilla wafers. And anything else? We'll leave it there. I have to come back. And oh, I had pecan pie. Oh, and sweet potato casserole with pecans and toasted vegan marshmallows. That's just since August. Now, there are quite a few other things that I made if we were going all the way back to the beginning of the year, but this is just since August. Saying that to say there's absolutely nothing. I had cheddar biscuits today, man. The Red Lobster cheddar biscuits. There's absolutely nothing that you should miss out on being plant-based whole foods. Nothing. It should just be sitting down and thinking, these are foods that I really enjoy. These are foods that I really like. Let's see if I can make these a little bit healthier. Even a sweet potato pie. I made a sweet potato pie in Florida. We had Cal's listeners who were there who can, you know, verify it was not horrible. It wasn't some, you know, icky diet thing. We had sweet potato pie in Washington, D.C. Awesome. No gripes. People took some home both times. Amazing. Didn't have any complaints about it at all. You can enjoy all of the yummy items, desserts and otherwise, even being plant-based. They have so many non-dairy milk options, non-dairy cheese options. It should really be no excuse for you. And the transition, I know Red in Ohio and other folks talked about this. They have so many transition foods now. When I say transition foods, I mean like the fake burgers and fake hot dogs. They have fake fish sticks and fake fish fillets and fake sausage links. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. They have the fake eggs and almost anything. I can't imagine anything. And these are just things you don't have to do any cooking. The ground beef, the Impossible Burgers and all that. They have so many food items that it should be much easier for you to transition. If you've been eating a lot of those junk food type things, to transition, start eating some of those other products, the fake meat type things, and then see if you can gradually work your way to more whole foods. But all of that to say, you do not have to miss out on anything. You can enjoy really tasty, delicious versions of all of the, you know, items that you ate before. All of that's it. And again, I am not someone who grew up eating healthy foods and, you know, lots of quinoa and hummus and brown rice. I did not grow up eating it. I grew up eating hot dogs and Big Macs and Slurpees and all the other nonsense. Pork rinds, country ham sandwiches. That's what I grew up eating. Trust me, you can have outstanding food that still tastes great, not have to miss anything and still be really excited every time it's mealtime. Now, getting more specific to why we are here today for this broadcast, I posted a segment, I think it was last week. I posted it on Twitter at Until Justice, and it was about McDonald's. And it was specifically, I talked about it on workplace racism. It was, they closed the branch because a worker tested positive for COVID-19. I posted this, and my thought process was like, wow, we have been on it with McDonald's all year long. Even before the Rona, we read Franchise, Victim of Racism, phenomenal book all about the McDonald's franchise and their history of racism with black franchise owners and all the rest of it. Like I said, way back, feels like forever, before the Rona even got here. We were talking about that, and there were so many different Marsha Chatelain, that's her name, I forgot, black female. She's with us way, 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 way back in February. And they were talking about different components of racism. They even talked about the food deserts. They even talked about some of the stuff being talked about now with lots of black people in those urban areas and food deserts and all the rest. They don't have Wi-Fi, and so sometimes the only location you can go to get Wi-Fi is the McDonald's. And of course, if I'm going to go for Wi-Fi, I just might, if I have to sit here for an hour to get schoolwork or upload something or whatever it is, I just might be tempted to get some chicken nuggets or a quarter pounder or a Happy Meal or whatever else it is. Apple pie might be smelling good if you have to sit there long enough. Anyway, so we talked about all that this year, and there were so many different components to it. If you see the image that I have associated with the program for today, it has a picture of the late Kobe Bryant. What an ugly, ugly year it has been. Man, forgot that was this year he passed away. So it has an image of Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant two ways, not just Kobe Bryant, McDonald's All-American, right? They get a whole lot of young people to watch that McDonald's All-American game. And I mean, this is going back decades. You'll see like Michael Jordan in the McDonald's All-American game, Kobe Bryant in the McDonald's All-American game, Zion Williams in the McDonald's All-American game, LeBron James, like anybody who's anybody. Oh, there they are, and Ronald McDonald and dunking it through. That's one for Kobe Bryant. Then, if you're really good, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, get you to do that McDonald's commercial. They got him with a Big Mac. And the insidious thing is that for most of those athletes to perform at that level, you come out, you're going to be a Gabrielle Douglas and all the rest of it, Serena Williams, you are not eating chicken nuggets and McDonald's. Like, LeBron is infamous for having a chef and being extremely mindful about his body. You are not going to be performing at your peak running around, let me get a quarter pounder and get one of those apple turnovers and Sprite. No. In fact, I went to a Division I school. I know Division I athletes. Some of those folks, now I'm sure it would depend on which program you go to. Some are more advanced than others. But I know some folks who went there, and they said, our coach was so serious about that, he said, if I catch you with a soda in your hand, buddy, you are going to learn how to spell run when we get to practice. Just for a soda. Anyway, so McDonald's gets you in so many different ways. We had a listener who asked, I posted that report about McDonald's. They closed the branch, worker caught the Rona. Listener said, man, Gus, do you have any tips on how do you get your offspring to stop eating at McDonald's? And I said, wow, that's a good question. Again, now, I don't have children, but that is a really good question. Now, if we have any parents and you have tips, if you have offspring and, you know, especially even if your children are older now, if they're 19, 20 or so-called adults and they don't eat fast food, you know, the whole time that they were young and growing up, if you had a plan or whatever, if you all didn't eat fast food, you didn't go to McDonald's, or if you didn't do it very frequently, whatever you did, if your child is older and they don't do McDonald's, they turn their nose up at all that, get on the line. *61 and let us know what you did, because I'm just giving suggestions, but I haven't tried any of this. I don't have children. Before I get to some of the tips as to why I thought this was so important, even worthy of a broadcast, One, I want to do my reminder about McDonald's because, I mean, man, I feel like we've been talking about McDonald's all year long. So Dr. Marcia Chatelain, she was on the program in February. The setup for that sounded like...
Fred, do the McDonald's menu change.
Big Mac McDLT, a quarter pounder, with some filet of fish, a hamburger, cheeseburger, Happy Meal, McNuggets, tasty golden french fries, regular and larger sizes, salad, chef a garden, or a chicken salad, oriental, big big breakfast, egg McMuffin, hot hot cakes and sauces, maybe biscuits, bacon, egg and cheese, a sausage, Danny hash browns too, and for dessert, hot apple pies and sundaes, three varieties of sauce, or foam, two kinds of shakes and chocolate chip cookies, and to drink a Coca-Cola, Diet Coke and orange drink, Sprite and coffee, decaf two, a low-fat milk and orange juice.
So McDonald's, do that great next time we get this all at one place.
Good, now do it backwards.
This motherfucker, I'm actually enjoyed playing against and enjoy watching. So I'm actually a fan of this motherfucker.
And you can ask him about who deserved MVP in the McDonald's game.
Yes, I have to get that answer.
If he stamps you, you're good. Because I don't know if I believe it until he, because I didn't watch the game. So if he stamps you.
If Kobe stamps that I should have won MVP in the McDonald's 96 All-American game, somebody need to send me a trophy.
You know, I tell you what, the first time I actually ever heard E-40 was at a All-American camp.
Yeah.
We were all hanging out in dorms.
Uh-huh.
And back then it was nothing but Biggie, Nas,
right, right? That's it.
That stuff, right?
Right, that's
so
it.
They were playing E-40 and shooting craps. And I'm like, man, what, y'all got to show me. What is this? What's going on right now? You know?
Yeah,
so
that,
it was fun getting to know everybody, you know, and then seeing kind of where we've all gone since then.
Well, you guys played in the McDonald's game together, and Jack Hollister, you won MVP, right?
No.
Yeah, I won MVP.
I should have won MVP.
You did win MVP, didn't you?
So, see, I'm glad you said that, Cole. So,
who won MVP?
Shaheen Holloway. He had like 10 turnovers,
oh,
too,
he?
Bro. But you know what got him MVP? Remember the bounce pass to Lester Earl?
Yeah.
And he dunked on Voss?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was a big play. But I led the game in scoring. I actually was 8 for 10 from the field, 3 for 3 from the 3-point line. But our team,
yeah,
me, you, Rip, Jermaine O'Neal, and Shaheen Holloway.
Yeah.
Crazy starting five.
Yeah, that's crazy. I thought you did win MVP.
No, I didn't.
So he loves the fact that you thought he should have.
But he said it. That's all I wanted to hear.
He wanted that.
All I wanted to hear.
We talked about this before. He's like, Shaheen Holloway won, but Kobe knows I should have won.
I thought you did.
I did. Shaheen won it.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
What's up, Jay?
What up?
Where's Kevin?
At the J-O-B, man.
What?
He's still flipping those burgers at Mickey D's?
Thanks, Calvin.
He says he has a plan, man.
He's the newest member of our management team. Calvin.
Congratulations.
All right.
Don't
rip my voice too hard.
Yo, Calvin.
May we help you?
Not
much, man.
Well, I'm out.
Hey, yo, Calvin.
Now, what's the word on that job thing?
Not for me.
For a friend of mine.
Word.
And the other kids got McDonald's. They outside going, we got McDonald's. Hamburgers. McDonald's. McDonald's. I got McDonald's.
Context of white supremacy. I was stymied for a minute, just like, wow, that interview was with Kobe Bryant, and it was from this year. What a 2020. Anywho, as I was listening to all that, that was number one. Like, wow, Kobe Bryant died this year, and that interview is from this year. Two, we just had parents on, and they were talking about trying to share information with your child about racism, white supremacy, and feeling overwhelmed. Like, you can talk until you're blue in the face, literally, and they still, you know, can ignore that totally and say that white people are great and not all white people are racist, and, you know, maybe even you are racist as a black parent for, you know, trying to talk this way about white people. The system is daunting. It's capital W, cap U-S, for a reason. I don't think they advertise spinach. Like, if I think hard about the foods that I eat on a regular basis, I told y'all I had that big salad, right, before I had it tuned in. I didn't just have cheddar biscuits. Spinach was there. They don't advertise spinach. Mushrooms, I eat a ton of mushrooms. They don't advertise mushrooms. Broccoli, I love broccoli. They don't advertise broccoli. Bok choy, no, none of that. Whole foods, plants, veggies, generally, they do not advertise. Ronald McDonald has a $1 billion advertising campaign. And as you heard, we talked about the Calvin commercials and all that. Sometimes they have specific commercials, much like Newport cigarettes, just to target black people. So, if Mr. Fuller is not talking crazy when he says, hey, eating correctly is one of the core things we should be doing on the path to universal woman, universal man. If he's not talking crazy, if, you know, Dr. Lathan is not talking crazy about all of this, then you have to be kind of exceptional. And even that might fail, but I mean, at minimum, you got to try to be exceptional with regards to eating and modeling that for your child. And I guess that would be number one. And I got another clip I'll go to right now to kind of emphasize this. In fact, I'll hush because I'm not a certified food expert, but I do have a sound clip. And I played one clip from these folks earlier this year, Judith Finlayson. Her last name just sticks in my head for some reason. Finlayson. She co-authored the book, You Are What Your Grandparents Ate. Right? Let's see if we can get her on the program because she's white. I asked Dr. Lathan about that. In fact, I'm going to just hush and let the clip play. This is she and her co-author, Kent Thornton. They're talking about epigenetics. We've discussed epigenetics on the cows before, and I think a lot of folks who discuss racism talking about epigenetics and how the impact of white terrorism can impact your DNA. If, you know, let's say your grandparents, if they were beaten, terrorized, let's say by a white dog, that might impact your development. You might have, you know, a fear of dogs, you know, where you're repulsed by them. You don't feel bad, sympathetic for dogs when they show them on TV. It could take lots of different forms. But we talked about it from a standpoint of white supremacy, racism, and even how it can impact your health. They're going to talk about epigenetics in this clip, and it will relate more to food, or not more to, it's going to relate directly to food. But again, so the lead into this was, so if you are concerned about your children not eating at McDonald's, you as an attempted parent, your food game, what you eat, what you cook, what food you have in that pantry had better be stellar. Maybe even what food your grandparents had in the pantry. You Are What Your Grandparents Ate, the co-authors, or actually both authors, yeah. Context of white supremacy.
And now I get to talk about mice. Because one of the key ways that we learned about how this actually happens is through a key study that was done in 2003 and introduced the idea of epigenetics. There's a group of mice known as the agouti mice who had very, very poor health. These mice were either very sickly or died very young, and that's because they had been bred to be beautiful. When a group of researchers, doesn't necessarily mean, you know, if you're beautiful, you're sickly. But anyway, these mice were because they were bred for a variant of a gene. And when researchers took a look at these mice and fed them some targeted nutrients that affect an epigenetic process known as methylation, they not only cured the ill health in the mice, it cured their offspring. Their offspring had none of the chronic illnesses that the mice did, and the offspring of the offspring. So we now knew through the agouti mice that an epidemiological process was at work in terms of this ill health. And we also knew that you could use nutrition to improve at least the process of methylation and possibly other processes. So that was a huge breakthrough in terms of understanding the how of the why.
Right. So the agouti mouse experiment was done by a young person who worked in Randy Jurdle's lab at Duke. And what he found, as has been described, was the first evidence we've ever had that the diet of a mother affects the way the genes work in the offspring. So just let me drive that home. We didn't know before. We thought it might be true, but we didn't know that a mother's diet could affect the way the genes get turned off and on in the baby, not just for the baby, but for the next generation. So that is still one of the most profound facts that we have learned in the last 25 or 30 years, and that is that maternal diets in particular are powerful determinants of epigenetics. Now, if you're not familiar with the term, I think I should define it for you. But all of you here have a set of genes you got from your mother and your father. And those set of genes are firm and will not change through your lifetime. However, the way those genes work is determined on how those genes get turned off and on, and that's called epigenetics. And that is a process by which nutrients can modify genes that for the rest of your life could be on or off based on your mother's diet, and by the way, your grandmother's diet too, since we're talking about three generations, right?
Well, we can, let's talk a little bit about Sweden.
Yeah.
Because that's a good story. About a Swedish epidemiologist named Lars Bergen, who for some reason decided to look at the history, I'd love to know why, of the town that he grew up in. And his family had lived there for generations. And he discovered that the grandsons, it was an agricultural community, so it was very much defined by, you know, feast or famine. Some years there were great crops and other years there weren't. He discovered that the grandsons of the grandfathers who had eaten too much around the time of puberty were more likely to die young. He discovered in a later study that the granddaughters of women who were pregnant during a famine were more likely to die young. And this led us into really, or that scientist, into the area of looking at how this was happening, and it was happening through epigenetic marks that happen when either sperm cells are forming around the time of puberty, or you may need to be reminded that a baby girl is born with all of her eggs. So those eggs are forming while she was in her mother's womb. So if her mother experienced famine, it influences the quality of those eggs, just as the quality of the male sperm is influenced at the time of puberty. So this leaves, we now know from epigenetics marks on the reproductive cells, which are transmitted through the generations. So we're going to go to that, the fetal programming. Now, nutrition is one of the main stressors that program for poor health, but there are others, and can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's an interesting fact that we've learned since David Barker really made his initial discoveries.
Context of white supremacy. Judith Finlayson, Kent Thornburg. They gave that talk here in Seattle literally just weeks before the Rona. I'm not sure if I knew about that book at that point, but man, I was like, I wish I had taken advantage. Like, I might not be able to catch them anytime soon with the Rona and all, but, you are what your grandparents ate. Now, again, I said the reason for that sake. Oh, wait a minute. I stopped it immediately. They were talking about stressors on health, and they said nutrition, major stressor on health. That's what they've been talking about all this year, right? That's why we're doing, or one reason why we're doing this program. Stop your children from eating at McDonald's. I stopped it, but when he continued into other factors that stress and can deteriorate your health, environmental factors. I said, oh man, that was Harriet A. Washington, and that was exactly where he went. Like, oh, if you're in an environment with radon and all this other things, and you can't get fresh air, everything that they talked about with the Rona, wow, we talked about it. He just went right down the line, and then he said, oh, and then if you're stressed, then things like you can't pay your rent, or people are messing with racism, white supremacy, got it. But that was why I stopped it immediately, because they had already said nutrition, major stressor on health. So I play that whole segment. You, as an attempted parent, have to be really solid, I mean really exemplary, with your food game. And by that I mean, as I said, what do you eat on a daily basis? And that's like, what do you eat daily for years? Not just, I had a year of healthy eating and then we went back to Domino's and chicken wings and, you know, all the rest of it. Or we had a year and then we messed around for a little bit, ice cream got to me, and then we got it back together for a year, and then we slacked off for, you know, 5-6 years. And then we got, you know, like, steady, consistent, this is important, this is counter-racism. Eating well every day. What you eat as an attempted parent, the foods that you purchase, where you go to eat, what foods you allow your child access to, what foods you have in the house. You have to be really exemplary with that, like, every day for years, for life, really, to really make, I think, an impact. And sometimes it might be a type of a thing where it doesn't really get, well, I'd say this, if you can start it young, man, modeling that, and that's how you live at, like, from the, I was going to say from birth, but from the womb, as you heard there, the impact is extraordinary even from the womb. What the mother and father are eating from conception and maybe even before that have an extraordinary impact on the child's tastes and what type of foods they're going to crave. So those 9 months, you want to make sure you are not eating McDonald's, Hardee's, wherever you happen to be at, Carl Jr., Jack in the Box, not eating nonsense for those 9 months, and maybe even before. Harriet A. Washington talked about that too, in A Terrible Thing to Waste, because so much is happening in terms of development of that child and taste buds specifically, and so much literature talks about that. Your taste buds begin developing in the womb. Those first few years of life, your taste buds and rituals around food start being the groundwork for that, for your life is laid right there. So I would say at that time, it should be no McDonald's at all. And McDonald's is so insidious, the same way that they will, they're insidious in so many ways. They will give you a LeBron James, I said Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, they've all done McDonald's commercials, and I think many of them. As I just said, these people don't eat McDonald's. You're not going to sit around and be Mike Jordan and Zion Williams. They fussed at him, right? Get your weight together, you're too chubby, and all that, get your weight together. Chef, nutritionist, all that, you're not eating chicken nuggets and think you're going to be a billion-dollar professional athlete. That's not going to happen. But McDonald's, you might be fooled and think, wow, Kobe Bryant was chomping on a Big Mac. Mike Jordan looked like he had, you know, a quarter pounder in his hand. That is not what is happening. And then they come back and they get you on the other end. They have the Happy Meals, the playground. That's how they get a whole lot of folks, you know, 4 or 5 years old. McDonald's, I want to go. I play in the little play area and, you know, get ice cream, and they got the toys and all that. I mean, they are nefarious. Like, we can get you hooked on this garbage at like 3, 4, and you'll whine and beg your parents. And the food is addictive. That's what I said about preservatives. I said that at the very beginning. Preserve is something you wouldn't even think about, but a lot of those chemicals are addictive, and it's beyond just, you know, I like McDonald's or cheeseburgers are tasty. No, this has got drugs and poison that makes you want more and eat and eat and eat and eat even when you're not hungry, and eat large quantities of the food. That's why the Lay's, what they say, can't eat one. Oh yeah, guaranteed all the drugs and things that we've put in this. So All of that to say, the white supremacy, deception, and propaganda model is, we really cannot compete with it, but you got to do your best. One of the ways you do your best, you are extraordinary as a parent with what you eat, the foods you buy, foods you give them access to. You are also extraordinary. Your child is in the womb, very young. You're eating great. You're already practicing that. Eating great, cooking great. Once you have your child, you never go to McDonald's. That might sound extreme, Hitlerist, Hitler-ish, whatever. Again, it's addictive. And food is a really powerful thing. Like I said, cheddar biscuits, man. Like, food is a really powerful thing. You need food in order to live. So, I mean, on a biological level, it's powerful. It's hitting so many different sensory elements. You can smell it. You can taste it. I mean, food, and you develop so many memories around food, eating with people. What are we doing around food? I was saying, I was talking to some of our listeners who are attempted parents about this subject. And they said, man, I have young children. We got these stupid horror days. I'm not starting any of that. For them to develop any goofy traditions around, oh, it's Christmas, and, you know, we got to get Christmas cookies, and, oh, we got to get, you know, country ham biscuits. Like, eh, we are not doing any of that. This is not an excuse for eggnog or trash. We're going to eat great food. We are not starting any goofy food traditions with my young child, victim of racism. We're going to see if we can make our best effort to be exemplary with the diet. Bravo. And that's the way that you have to think, to just try not to get a lot of that stuff started. Because I can guarantee you, with McDonald's, the holidays, most of those things, it is much better, especially those first, like, the critical years, the first 5-6 years or so, zero. Like, and they say, man, lots of health professionals in the world, I'm not a health professional, but many health professionals in the world say it should be breast milk exclusively for the first 5 years. A number of health officials say first 2 years minimum. So it should certainly not be 2-, 3-, 4-year-olds. They know the whole McDonald's menu, you know, and Happy Meals. That should not be happening at all. And again, it's addictive, and you get those memories. I would be remiss if I didn't add, as I said, Kobe Bryant did commercials, LeBron James did commercials, Zion Williams probably will be lined up. If you really want to be exemplary with your food, you probably are going to have to greatly eliminate, or greatly reduce, if not totally eliminate, television. That is where so much of the junk food programming is, and it's, that's why I say it's so insidious. Like, it's targeted. They will make sure those McDonald's commercials with LeBron James, make sure that airs. Make sure we got any new blizzards. I used to love, do they have Dairy Queen? Were you all at? I used to love Dairy Queen. Like, woo. Snickers, Blizzard, like, man, let's do, get 50 of them. But they will make sure to advertise all of the, like I said, they don't advertise bok choy. At least I haven't seen those. I don't think. If you see bok choy commercials, you let me know. They don't advertise asparagus. They don't advertise tofu. They advertise Blizzards, Big Macs, all of that regularly. In fact, Super Bowl might be coming, or maybe it will, maybe it won't. We'll see with the Rona. But I mean, wow, they really pull it out. The Cheetos and potato chips and all of that. Your child cannot compete with that. That's what I mean. Like, it's no contest. Capital W, capital S. You can talk all day long about health and blah, 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 and all this. Seeing that stuff on television as a child, with the child's brain computer that is immature, still developing, no contest. So you probably have to greatly reduce, if not eliminate, television, which is kind of a broken record. It seems like that is a core element of counter racism in so many respects. Like, limiting television, limiting child. If not, I would just say just expect that your child is going to be very exposed and probably do a lot of nagging about all of the exciting new food options. The Baconator sandwich is coming out. They're going to nag you to death and they're going to know all about it, which is just going to make the job even harder if they go out and shop with you, or if they go out and are whizzing by, like, oh my God, the Baconator, can we stop at Burger King? Like, you know, may want to limit the television. Anyway, I assume the person who asked this question about getting your child to not eat at McDonald's might have an older child where they know what the Golden Arches is, they've eaten a Big Mac or 12 and that type of thing. Your job is going to be substantially harder if that is the case, obviously, but all hope is not lost. Again, now all of this is going to hinge on you as a parent. You have to be exemplary with your food game and all of that that it entails. Like, what are you eating every time it's mealtime? Let's see what, let's check it out. What food do you allow into the house? If you do eat out at all, which I would try to discourage it totally, the Rona, that, I mean, if it's a so-called silver lining, that should be one. They got all the diners shut down and dining out. It's cold and you don't need to take any unnecessary risks. We will work on our cooking. We'll eat at home. We'll make a whole family event project out of whatever it is. We cook together, we eat together, take advantage. I mean, I don't have children, but as an attempted parent, like, you should savor those moments anyway, because your child is not going to be 10 forever. They're not going to be 15 forever. You're not going to be able to do those type of, you know, cooking with your young child moments together. So take advantage. If you all can cook together every day for the next 7 months, wow, that might be one thing in a year of lots of misery and suffering and challenges. That might be one thing. Like, wow, we learned how to cook so many things, and we cooked those cheddar biscuits that Gus was talking about and blah, 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 and all that. Like, make that an event to try to really get away from eating out at all. And if you are going to eat out, even then, not at McDonald's, not at, you know, any other nonsense. It should not be, this is our splurge, as they say. This is our treat to go, you know, get a cheeseburger or, I don't know, whatever the other nonsense, chicken wings, whatever the other nonsense is. It should not be that at all. It should still be, if you're going to go out, we're still going to eat healthy. They have restaurants that have great, healthy, you know, plant-based options that are tasty and all the rest of it. That's what we're going to do if we're going out. Not we're going out. It should be cold turkey like never, because the food is addictive. That's one. Or, I mean, really, you don't need to say anything. Anything that's addictive, Mr. Fuller talked about that, about not increasing your needs. Anything that's addictive, like, you have put some non-food items in what I am, you know, purchasing under the guise of this is food. And that's nothing else to talk about. Stop right there. We don't need to get any more details. Like, no, I just wanted an apple, not an apple with little MSG and magic salt. Come on, come on, come on. So in my view, it should be cold turkey. If you have a slightly older child, let's say they're 14, 15, whatever, you can be exemplary at home. I would still expect when they go out, they're at school and that type of thing. Hey, when we went to when I went to school, there was a McDonald's right across the, like, literally right across the street from the school. Like, we could run. I think our lunch break was like 35 minutes. We could literally run across the street, get McDonald's. It was across the street. We could eat there or go back to the school and eat McDonald's there and then go back to class. I mean, many of us did that, you know, the whole time that we were in school up until graduation. Now that I'm thinking about it, there were a number of the schools that they were strategically close to, you know, a fast food restaurant or five sometimes. There's probably going to be, you know, a lot of that, you know, for younger children, that eating is a really social, for people, period, eating is a social experience. And I think especially for younger people, that's like the hangout, like, let's go to McDonald's, we can hang out, and they have cheap food, right? You don't have tons of money as a younger person, so you can go get something from the dollar menu and all of that. I think if you can do enough work with having quality food at home and talking to them about health and food and all of that, you can get them to where they still enjoy and go out and do the social component. Yeah, let's kick it. We'll sit in the parking lot, listen to music, blah, blah, blah. But no, thank you. I'm not going to eat that. Wait till I get home. I'll drink some water. No, I'll pass on a Big Mac. I don't do any of that. That's the goal, that you can get there. All of that to say, I think major components, if you're trying to change what your home eating rituals and patterns are, I would say really value food. The system of white supremacy, the value system is totally destroyed. One major component of that is the food. That's why we have all the industrialized food and mistreat the animals there and all the rest of it and give people expired food and blah, 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 trying to make money and practice racism, all that. But the other component, or one of many components to not valuing food, you have a lot of non-white people, they don't have funds, right? You got a lot of non-white people, they can't afford to go to Whole Foods. I don't have $25 to spend on an apple. I feel you. Gus T is right there. That's one. So you have a lot of people, they can't afford. They will eat McDonald's and other, go to the dollar store, things of that nature, because they don't have a lot of money. So they feel like it will be challenging for me to try to eat healthy foods, organic foods, things of that nature. That's one. You'll have in the industrialized white supremacist food system. That's why McDonald's will be appealing for a lot of folks. Food is not valued, and or just not having a lot of money. So I'm just trying to get the cheapest thing that I can. I'm not thinking, let me maximize and get the highest quality food that I can. I'm just thinking, let me get, you know, whatever the cheapest thing that I can eat. Food is not valued in a sense of time. Racism, white supremacy, again, you got a lot of non-white people. I myself have been on jobs where sometimes you don't even get a lunch break, much less a lunch break where you could actually eat. It's got to be, yep, let me just go to McDonald's. I can get some fries and eat that really quick, or I can get a, you know, meal deal or whatever it is, eat that really quick, and boom, get back on the job. I can woof that down in 10 minutes. You don't have time to sit, digest your food, and actually get a fork and eat a salad and some cheddar biscuits, something that it might take you more than 5 minutes to chew up a salad, nibble on a biscuit type of a thing. Lots of non-white people where you rip in and running, you don't have time, you have to commute and do all this. They make it really difficult. They make it difficult to cook, make it difficult to access quality food, so it just becomes, hey, let's just get McDonald's, eat in front of the television. That's another component of it. It's food is not really valued, right? And nobody slaved over a kitchen. If we went to McDonald's, nobody slaved over a kitchen or anything. So this is not an event, us sitting down to have, oh, Gus T's cheddar biscuits, you know, everybody shut up and, you know, let's turn the candles on and all that. It's, you know, we got cheeseburgers, you know, whatever. So we eat in front of the television and all the rest of it. All of that, in my view, all of that just contributes. And there's many more factors, but I mean, how much time do we have? All of that just contributes to food not being valued. I'm not really that mindful about what I'm eating as long as it tastes good. And I mean, hey, McDonald's can make food that tastes good. If you're not really paying attention to it, they put enough sugar in it, enough salt in it. Chicken nuggets taste good. Apple pie tastes good from McDonald's. They have chocolate chip cookies. Chocolate chip cookies taste good. They have things that taste good at McDonald's. It's not good for you. It's not quality food. But if you're not paying attention to all of that, and that's what you're accustomed to, that's what we grew up eating, that's what I see mom and dad eat, they're rushing, ripping and running on lunch or getting home tired from work, just, hey, let's order a pizza or whatever it is. Oh, okay. We sit around, watch television, see what happened on Stranger Things or whatever it is, eat our fries and all that. If that's what the ritual is, well then, yeah, that will probably be replicated. A lot of people, that's what they get in their mind in terms of what's supposed to happen when it's time to eat. We sit and watch, you know, something mild, because I'm really not paying attention to my food. I'm watching the screen. I'm not looking at my fork. I'm not looking at my plate. I'm just shoving whatever it is in my mouth that seems to taste pretty good, and I can smile and mindlessly consume on both levels. White supremacy television and white supremacy food all at the same time. Destroy your body and destroy your brain computer. In my view, combating all of that is really valuing food. Like shopping together. You shop so they can see you going to the store and getting things and asking them, what do you want to eat? What meals do you like? Well, you all can talk about, you know, what are we going to cook together? Not just what do you want to eat? What do we want to cook? Cheddar biscuits? all of that so it can make the whole shopping experience a lot more fun as opposed to just going to shopping. No, put that back. No, put that back. No, put that back. We're already thinking, we already got our list together, already thinking about meals that we might want to prepare and what ingredients we need. We got the recipe, pull that up on your phone, boom, boom, and knock that down. That can make the shopping experience much better. Whole different value to shopping, getting food, cooking the food, putting the meal together. Just a lot of that just depends on what is your ritual, what's your experience around eating, what images and actions pop into your head when you get hungry or when you think of food. Does that entail, oh, I go on my phone, DoorDash, and, you know, pull up the menu? That's what I think about. That's what I'm accustomed to. We ate out a lot, you know, especially during the Rona. We just ate out a lot. Is that it? Or is it, let me go to the refrigerator, see what, you know, I'm going to whip up, you know, turn on the kitchen lights, you know, grab my apron, make sure the kitchen is that what you think? You know, it just, what am I accustomed to? What did we grow up with? Like I said, I did not grow up in a veggie, plant-based household at all. Not even close to it. So, you know, that's, and I'm sure that's the case for a lot of people. But as you heard in the clip, that can change. It can change and you can enjoy the cooking experience, just being able to put your hands on food and to know exactly what goes into these cheddar biscuits, like what ingredients exactly, and to be able to control for everything, like to really get in and enjoy that experience and enjoy that experience with your children. Spectacular. And doing that, that ends up being a lifelong, how shall I say, experience, lesson. That's what your children will think about. I know so many people, hopefully maybe we'll have some folks who dial in, but they will talk about that, those experiences being in the kitchen with their parents, relatives, cooking, preparing foods, pies, things of that nature. A lot of people have those experiences around the so-called horror days. Unfortunately, for most of us, it's around bad food. Like, it could, I just said, I have pumpkin pie waiting for Gus T. As soon as we get off the air, slice it up, let's do it, whipped cream and everything, but it is all vegan, plant-based, no crazy ingredients, like I said, all the preservatives and everything. You can have all of those baking experiences. We had sweet potato pie at two of the retreats. You can have all of that. Just take it. Doesn't have to have all the crazy egg and all the crazy sugar and everything. Just a few adaptations to make it a little bit healthier, so we don't all have heart disease, diabetes, kidney failure, all the Chadwick Boseman. Just a few adjustments and a few new recipes. That's one of the things for people. You can check my Facebook page. I am not, like, my nature is not at all like pictures of myself or pictures of what I'm doing, where I'm hanging out at, and, you know, that's not me at all. The only reason that I started taking pictures of the foods that I was cooking and eating was to try to encourage more people for this whole reason we're doing the broadcast this evening. Eat better. What is it? Eat well. Use logic. Eating correctly is path the universal man, universal woman. I say, hey, you can eat really well. It's no excuses. Let me post what I eat on a regular basis so people can see, like, oh, okay, you can be vegan, plant-based. That does not mean that you have to suffer. That doesn't mean that you have to miss out and, you know, you just eat steamed vegetables and steamed rice for every meal. Not, I did have steamed broccoli in the soup today, but, I mean, it was cheddar broccoli soup. That was amazing to compliment the cheddar biscuits. But that's why, and I will get that picture posted so people can see what all that looks like. But that's why I posted it. You can see, like, you can have amazing things so that you will be excited. You and your offspring will be excited about mealtime. And you'll be like, wow, this is so much better than McDonald's. Like, oh, I will turn my nose up. And that's why I said, you can get it to where your child, I've seen it, they'll just go and kick it. They're going to McDonald's to hang out in the parking lot. Like, oh, okay, let's go hang out. Oh, God, I'm not eating a quarter. Please, we got it. cheddar biscuits at home. I'm good. Like, that's how they will function. Like, we can kick it. Let's talk. Whatever, whatever. I'm not eating anything in there. I don't even know if I want a cup of water from in there. Like, ooh, I can't even believe you all are. Either get that away from me. Touch me up in front. Like, that's the way that they'll function. Like, we can talk and all that. I've seen that. All it takes is being consistent. And you got to have excellent offerings at home. It cannot just be, I don't want you to eat at McDonald's. We've been eating at McDonald's for the past 12 years, first 12 years of your life. But, you know, I've been rethinking it. And, yes, year of the Rona, no more McDonald's. What does Mr. Fuller say? It's compensation. Okay, so you're going to take the quarter pounder out of my hand, right? You're going to take the Big Mac out of my hand. What's going to be there to replace it with? That means you got to cook. If you don't cook, because I know for a lot of folks, I didn't cook before. I said that. I'm not, you know, casting judgment. I didn't do a whole lot of cooking myself. And it wasn't even that long ago. It was Cal's business who said, man, Gus just said he made a pumpkin pie and cheddar. Like, that fool said not that long ago that he hated cooking and would not, you know, stand over a sink and all that. I absolutely did say that. But I would not have had cheddar biscuits today if I didn't cook. I wouldn't have pumpkin pie today if I didn't cook. Wouldn't have even known that salted caramel pecan cinnamon rolls exist if I didn't cook. That was motivation enough. Like, oh, wow, like I could have all of these things, even though they are not at the grocery store and they are not at McDonald's, but I could have all of these things and I can stay in my house and have them. Sign me up for it. Let's do it. Just cook a little bit. And really, it's no excuse. Like, they have ton, and I mean, it's more YouTube videos than you could imagine on cooking anything. I think they got a video for the cheddar biscuits. I didn't look at it. I just looked at the recipe, but I think there's a video for vegan cheddar biscuits. But they have videos for everything. They have apps. You can go on your phone and find anything. They have, and it's specific. They have apps and recipes and vlogs and YouTube videos that will not just be, oh, I'm vegan, let me get recipes for macaroni and cheese or pesto or Alfredo sauce. But they do have all that, but it'll be specific, meaning, oh, I'm a parent, what are vegan meals for children? They'll have whole pages for that. I can even get you on a start. Those vegan cheddar biscuits, that would definitely be a starter. I think children would eat those. The carrot hot dogs. We've had those at every retreat. They have been a smash hit every time. Children would devour those. And I think if you probably could have some children, if they're young enough, they wouldn't even know the difference between a carrot hot dog and a regular hot dog. If you cook it correctly in a season, they wouldn't even know. Just, it's a hot dog. And they would transition right off of it and not even remember that they used to eat pork and, you know, all the rest of that. But they have cookbooks, apps, websites, blogs. I'm sure eventually, I guess, if we all get the vaccine or if the Rona ever leaves us alone, they'll have cooking classes again. They have all of that where you can go and figure out, like, at least, you know, 20 even if you don't pick out those recipes, you can take the foods that you already prepare, unless you just sit around and eat like country ham. I hope we don't have too many people that's like your array. You just eat, you know, like ground beef, steak, country ham. If you do, no judgment. I used to eat 7-Eleven hot dogs all the time, so no judgment. Just, you know, trying to do better. But unless that's the type of diet that you eat now, you can just transfer and get, you know, some non-dairy milk, get non-dairy butter, and easily they have, you know, fake ground beef and all the rest of it, and easily make modifications to the recipes that you already prepare, and so you can just transition your family at home and just do more cooking and look for new recipes. Have it so that your children are excited about mealtime and what are we going to be checking out. You can have them looking for recipes and helping you out in the kitchen. I know that's another one. Some of the parents said having them in the kitchen with you preparing, get their hands in it. Most of the children that I've been around, they love to get their hands dirty, and anything like chocolate chip cookies and stuff like that, they love. I don't know any children that, you know, dislike chocolate chip cookies, knowing that that's the payoff, and that's a quick one too. You can get chocolate chip cookies made in like 25 minutes, so And I can make a mess. Like I could get my hands messy for a minute and mess the batter up or whatever. And we get chocolate chip cookies at the end. Sign me up. Most children, they're going to be down. So, I mean, get them in the kitchen with you. You're getting to spend time with your offspring. You can talk to them about the importance of quality eating. One thing I would do also, it's 2021. They have so many videos and different projects. What the Health, that's how I found Dr. Ruby Lathan. Been on the program many times. She's right there. What is it? Super Size Me. That's an older one if we're talking about McDonald's specifically. They have so many. I forgot it's a new one talking about athletes who are vegan, who, like professional athletes, like NFL football players and all the rest of it, who are plant-based and still playing at a phenomenal level and, you know, haven't seen any loss in their performance or muscle mass or anything else. In fact, reported rave results from switching to a plant-based diet. So show your children. Get them some of that material in terms of books. Have them do some research on their own. And when I say have them do some research on their own, phenomenal. Sit down and watch What the Health. Watch Super Size Me. Take notes, talk about it, or any other projects that you find online. There's tons of these types of films. But also, do some research. Talk to your family members, especially if they have like grandparents, aunts, uncles. Ask them about their health. Ask them about their diet, right? Because it might be if they have other vegan grandparents and aunts and uncles and everything, your job is even easier. Now you have some other people that can come in and give the same message. But what's probably going to be the case, I know it was for me, you'll have other relatives who are eating bad food. They're going to McDonald's and all of that. Oh, okay, great. You go to McDonald's. What do you eat? Quarter pounder. Oh, daddy's such a coon. He won't let me get quarter pounder. Man, I used to get. Or they used to let us get quarter pounders, and I love them. We got pictures of us all together with Ronald McDonald. Now we won't go. He's been listening to some stupid radio program. We can't listen to it anymore. We can't go to McDonald's, and I hate it. It's got us eating at home every day and all this. Oh, but you do go to McDonald's, Granddad? Oh, okay. Great. Are you healthy? Like, do you have to, you have to take pills? Oh, how many pills? And then ask questions. That's what we normally recommend, right? Stay in the question lane. Do some research. If they have family members, particularly older family members, ask them about their health. What do you eat? Wow, how many pills do you have to take every day? How much money does that cost? Do you feel good? Are you, you know, does the doctor tell you that you have to lose weight or anything? Did they tell you anything about your diet? Did they tell you that you're eating, you know, the right foods? Did they tell you anything? Ask and ask and ask. See, do you notice anything? The people that eat at McDonald's, do they seem like they're doing, you know, okay? Or do they seem like they're having any problems? Or what have you. See if you find any other people. Compare that. If you do have people in your family, they're vegan. They eat veggies, plants, organic mostly, that type of thing. Compare their health. Compare their body type, right? Do they look like they're healthy and fit, all that? Compare that to the other folks. And just, you know, let their brain computer do the math. But encourage them to do some research. If you're transitioning, which is what it sounded like this person was talking about, if you're trying to transition your children, I can't emphasize enough, you have to be exceptional with what you're eating, what you're cooking, what foods you allow in the house. I would say no eating out at all. If you are going to eat out, it's certainly not McDonald's. It's going to be quality food and what have you. But also, you can talk to them about food, talk to them about what you used to eat, why you used to eat those foods, why you're making these changes. Just talk to them. Try to give them information, you know, about food, and encourage them. Ask questions. Pay attention. Be observant to the folks around you, especially older people. Pay attention, because food is one of those. You might not see it today. You might be able to get away with it, you know. You might be able to go and get some chicken nuggets today. No big deal. Food is one of those. Eating bad food, especially eating bad food on a regular basis, that might be one of those where you might have to pay attention for a while to see what happens when you eat bad food on a regular basis. Like I said before, that bad food has a lot of addictive properties, so it's probably not going to be a, oh, I just have this once in a while. Most of the people that I know that eat the bad food, it's not a once in a while thing. It's a pretty regular thing. If you like blizzards, it's always a good time for a blizzard. If you like chicken nuggets always sounds better than having to go and tinker around in the kitchen for an hour and a half to get something that still might not taste as good as a chicken nugget. I guess if I could give one more tidbit, I do know a lot of people feel like they don't have a lot of confidence in the kitchen to like throw down and make something better than a chicken nugget. That's why a lot of people go to McDonald's. It's the same thing as counter racism practice. Like I said, it's really 2021 is really no excuse for anybody being bad at cooking. Like, I'm not saying you have to be like a 5-star gourmet chef. You can make every type of souffle and all that. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying, like, man, if you can read, we go on YouTube and watch every kind of goofy video, you know, kangaroo punch the man in the groin and all the rest of it. Like, man, you can invest 10 minutes in a YouTube video on cooking a little healthier for yourself and others. And it's tons. It's YouTube videos with black people, Asian. If you don't like dark black people, fine. It's YouTube videos with so-called high yellow black people. You don't like high yellow black people, fine. It's YouTube videos with crystal black people. You don't like black people, fine. It's YouTube videos with non-black, non-white people, all doing vegan cooking and a variety of different meals. And it's books at the library. It's apps on your phone. It's tons of resources. I post recipes. Like, I shared recipes at the retreat last night. It's no excuse to be bad. A lot of it would just be, try it again. Try it again. I made French fries, sometime this year, from scratch, French fries at home. They were amazing. I posted pictures of them. They were, like, some of the best French fries way better than McDonald's. And when I got the recipe from a non-white person, she said that she had to tinker with the recipe. It took her about 3 weeks of trying it out to get it perfected. That is the case. Just like with counter racism, you don't always say exactly the perfect thing every time. You might have to go back and make changes, figure out, like, oh, I made an error. It shouldn't be this. It should be this. This is actually better. This is an improvement. Same thing will happen with cooking, especially if you don't have a lot of experience. You just get in and try, and you get better. And especially if you're cooking with your offspring, we are still learning. Hopefully it will be edible when we get to the end of it. We can enjoy, and then we'll try it again and do better. Anywho, I don't have children, but these are things that I think might help. I know I've talked to some folks, non-white people, who they didn't grow up eating at McDonald's. Their parents didn't cook. Their parents didn't do the, you know, let's go to McDonald's and order Pizza Hut, you know, every other day and that type of thing. And we cooked and cooked well. That seems to be something that sticks out also. The people who, you know, they didn't do the McDonald's, like, they had parents who cooked and parents who cooked well. And so they kind of turned their nose up at McDonald's, which is where I am now. Like, it's nothing that I would want from McDonald's. Like, did you hear me? I had cheddar biscuits today and the salted pecan cinnamon rolls. Like, what does McDonald's have that can, you know, get out of here? That's easy to achieve. You just have to be willing to put the time and energy. And it really, like I said, valuing food, valuing the shopping to get, you know, the ingredients and thinking about all the great things that we're going to cook. I guess you can get the stuff delivered, but, you know, valuing food in that capacity, valuing cooking and not just thinking about cooking and dirty dishes and having to sweat over the hot stove and burn my hands on a pot and all the rest of it is, hey, I'm controlling the ingredients. We can do this together. I mean, we are at home. It's not like we're out at the McDonald's kitchen at a deep fryer or something, so you can have music on and relax, get some of those comfortable rugs and make it a really, you know, enjoyable experience. And they have tons of meals, even if that's you. I know some people say that, like, hey, I work, I have a lot of responsibilities. I can't be slaving over a stove for 5 hours a day to cook something. No problem. They have tons of, because I said the same thing, they have tons of one pot recipes that are 30 minutes or less. I think for most of us, it would take about 30 minutes to drive to McDonald's and pick out the menu, all that, get back home. So 30 minutes, one pot, not tons of dishes and dirty up the whole kitchen. 30 minutes, one pot, bam. crock pot. If you really don't like cooking, you can get a crock pot. They are super cheap, cheaper than a microwave. Literally, you can dump all the ingredients in the morning on your way to work, turn it on low. 8 hours later, you come home, everything is done. Get a bowl and eat. And they have literally whole pages. I just posted. I made butternut squash, sweet potato curry. Literally, you dump everything in the crock pot. I did it on 4 hours the first time I made it, 4 hours on high. The next time, I did it on 8 hours on low. It was superb. Like, oh my God. Woo. Might make it again sometime soon. And they have tons of recipes like that where you can eat really well. You do not have to slave and sweat all day in the kitchen. It can taste way better than anything at McDonald's and be really healthy and laying a foundation. If you have young children or younger children, whatever it is, laying a foundation for a lifetime for them to say, wow, we used to make this. Like, man, mom and dad, we'd be in the kitchen and listening to Neely Fuller Jr. or Dr. Wellesen talking about justice. And, oh, we used to make this curry. It's so good. Tasty, and I feel better. I guess I'll end with that. Then we'll see if we got suggestions for listeners. Maybe we got some parents who've done A-plus work. They haven't just been talking it. They have walked the walk in terms of getting their children out of McDonald's. Man, as ugly as this year has been, like every day, it's just bad news this and bad news that and quality eating, like literally. I was talking to B in Toronto one time. Made my smoothie. I've lived off of smoothies this year. Love my Vitamix. Used it to make my soup. And the ranch dressing. Get a good blender. Good blender can do wonders in terms of what you can prepare and all that good stuff. But I used it to make the ranch dressing for the salad and used it to make the cheddar broccoli soup, which was... I made that a bunch of times, though. But getting food like that. I said I spoke with B in Toronto, I think that was like this spring or maybe early summer, and I was having a horrible day. She was having a horrible day. I went to my Vitamix and I made my watermelon smoothie, frozen watermelon smoothie, the ginger, lime juice, cucumber. I literally felt my energy and vitality increase with each gulp. I had my cheddar biscuits today. Life felt a little bit better with each nibble. When I get my pumpkin pie slice when all this is over, like, that is the way that you want to eat. Not I go and get chicken nuggets with fat and deep fried grease that they probably haven't changed in 5 months and preservatives and all this other nonsense, and I feel good because it's steeped in sugar and fat and salt and all the rest of it. Like, no, I'm eating organic spinach, mushrooms, fresh made ranch with fresh dill, and as I said, the cheddar biscuits. I'm eating really high quality food with no craziness, no chemicals. Yes, I feel a little bit better. Your body is supposed to feel better when you are nourished, well nourished, and not starving. I have never, ever, ever, ever been in that group of, oh, I ate my vegan meal, and then 15 minutes later, I'm starving and need to eat again, and, oh, man, when I ate my Big Mac, I'd be full for the rest of it. That has never been me, and we didn't hear any of those complaints at any of our yoga retreats. You can eat plant-based meals, be really satisfied, really delicious, really, really healthy, not compromising on any. But we'll see if folks have any thoughts to share. Again, all of this because a listener said, man, what can we do to help get our children out of McDonald's? Hopefully this is helpful towards that effort. Folks asked or have been suggesting a lot, man, Gus, you should do a cookbook, which is something I never, ever thought of doing. But if, like, a counter-racist cookbook with, like, some of what we talked about tonight and some recipes and some of how racism is designed to have us eating poorly and eating McDonald's and not valuing food, not seeing food as the nourishment which will fuel our ability to replace white supremacy with justice. Mr. Fuller talks about having the will and the ability. If you are not eating correctly, I can almost guarantee you there's going to come a point you're not going to have the ability to replace white supremacy with justice. And it's going to come way before it should. Like where you should have lots of vitality and lots of energy to go out and solve this problem, and it's not going to be there. And we had guests on the program, Christopher Everett, he said that exactly this year. I asked him about the Rona, and he said he had to take it seriously because he has health problems, diabetes, said he weighed 325 pounds. He was trying to make a sequel to his film, Wilmington on Fire, White Terrorism in North Carolina, trying to make a sequel, and he couldn't do it because of his health. That'll be my stop point in the archives from this summer. The number is 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If we have any parents and you figured out, like, Gus doesn't know what he's talking about, but as a parent, someone who has changed a diaper or 100, these are some things that we did and got our children up out of the golden arches. Well, absolutely. *61 and I will hush. Let's see. Folks who are with us, if they have any thoughts on the subject, caller, hand up, line should be open. Like I see at least one hand. I don't know if you're just listening, but did you have commentary? Might just be listening. I'll double back in and check. Let's see. Mo in Dallas, see your hand as well. Did you have commentary, sir?
Yes, I'm traveling to a nice place to talk, so give me like a minute.
For sure, for sure. We'll check back in with Mo in Dallas, our other caller. Not hearing you, so I guess if you're just listening, no problem. If you have commentary, let us know. We'll be here on Thursday. Phew, excited. Jeffrey Toobin, The Run of His Life, The People versus O.J. Simpson. Normal time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Super looking forward. As for the food component, again, you can check my Facebook, facebook.com/theproblemiswhitepeople. And you can just look at photos, and I have lots of food pics of things that I've made mostly over this year. You'll see some of the stuff from the yoga retreats and all of that. Again, posted only to try to inspire folks to show off. Plant-based eating, I don't know, you know, what people's conceptions about plant-based eating are, what they think it entails, but you can enjoy all kinds of eating. You do not have to miss out on anything. You can have your children totally excited. I don't know any children who would not be excited about cinnamon rolls. Pizza, you'll see pizza on my Facebook page. I love making pizza, have cheese and everything downstairs to do pizza up. Pasta, made that a number of times. Like, you can do French fries, anything you can think of, lasagna, anything you can think of, anything that you normally enjoy, you can make the same things. Like I said, they have tons of websites that have recipes that are focused for children. You can make like veggie versions of like chicken nuggets and the hot dogs that I talked about, all kinds of things. Hamburgers, veggie burgers, they have like a billion recipes for veggie burgers. So it is really no excuse. It really would just be about experimenting in the kitchen. And maybe playing around online to, you know, find some recipes or go to your library and get some cookbooks and play around. And encourage that, too, experimentation. You can play around with produce. There are all kinds of fruits and vegetables, even getting some of the same fruits and vegetables that you're accustomed to, preparing them in new ways. Tons. You can even make that a challenge. Like, you can say we're going to do a whole meal. I think at the retreat this summer, we did a whole meal around zucchini. And try different, you know, recipes, especially if you find fruits and vegetables that your children really like. I know when I was younger, I loved, I'm trying to think, like broccoli,
squash, string beans, anything like that, once you find out, like, oh, they really like this, let's not just do this the same way every time. Let's try and see if we can find some other recipes that they really like, or even encourage them. See if you can check out some other recipes where you might like, you know, broccoli in a different way. A lot of times, at least if you know you like broccoli normally, you might be willing to try it. And especially if we cooked it together, you might even be more willing to try it. Let's see. There are folks that are with us with a hand up. I know Mo in Dallas said he needed a moment. Other caller, if you all are with us with thoughts, feel free. If not, let's see.
Can I hear it?
Mo in Dallas, yes, sir.
Greetings, guys. Greetings, listeners and callers. Thank you for the program, guys. I am an attempted parent, and actually, I went grocery shopping today. I've been the custodial caregiver for my daughter since she was two, but she's lived with me her entire life. It's just at the age of two, I received full custodial guardianship. When I do go grocery shopping, I make sure to bring her along and have her participate in shopping. And I do it to just ensure she will eat what we pick up and she approves of what we pick up, you know. And I think in a way it teaches her how to shop, and she actually understands, how much things cost. She doesn't really know how I inquire the income just yet, but she knows that I can afford it, you know. And we actually go over things that we can't afford. You know, we have like a budget, you know, victims of racism, white supremacy, so... and as far as McDonald's, she was crazy about McDonald's. When she visits her, I'm not going to put it on her other parent, but me too. I would get her, you know, quick meals when I was more confused about racism. But especially when she hung out with her, you know, other parent, that was a go-to, you know, the kids' meal, and she was wild about the chicken nuggets. So to deter her from the nuggets, I showed her videos on how the nuggets were made. And this was back when the pink paste, pink gelatin video, I don't know what that stuff was, but they were making the nuggets out of something pink and not chicken. And she was like, what is that? And I was like, and she watched it go in the machine and come out a nugget, and she was like, that's not chicken. And I was like, yeah, I didn't know it was food either. But that's not food. So she understands what is food and what isn't food. Now she's an advocate for not McDonald's. Funny story, my son, who lives with his mother, has a male cousin. And he has a strict diet, believe it or not, of chicken nuggets and French fries. I don't know how he negotiated this diet being I think he was 7 years old at the time. But my son used to cohabitate with a young man in the same room. So when I picked up my son, I had no problem with picking up the other young man. I think his dad lives in like North Carolina or Virginia or somewhere back east. His mom explained to me his diet before we left. And I definitely told her, I was like, before I leave with your child, we're not going there. He's not getting that today. And I was like, you have the option for me to let your child remain here. Or if he comes with me, he's going to eat what I give him. She's like, well, what are you going to eat? And I was like, we haven't worked it out yet. He had a great time, and he ate food that day. But knowing his diet, it really spoke to the build of the child. He was a little boy, but my son, it wasn't like my son was bigger than him, is the confusing part. They looked around the same size, but my child was more, I guess, dense, you know, like I had a more solid son. I don't Like if you like patted my son's chest, it would sound like filled. And if you patted him on the chest, it like echoed. And it really concerned me. So a lot of, and if his diet was truly, and that's what they told me, if it was truly chicken nuggets and french fries for as long as whatever, because that's all he would eat, it does a number on the child's health, especially, well, on their growth, if you ask me, or at least their body density, especially between ages of, I guess, 4 and 7. That's all I have for Nanny in my line.
Wow. Much obliged, Mo in Dallas. That is so important. I had that written down. Glad we got to hear from folks who actually have children, who your children are hanging out with is huge, because you can be exemplary. You know, we have lots of fruits and vegetables. Do exactly what Mo in Dallas said. I take my child with me and we go to the store and they're a part of it. Like, we get to see how much the food costs, and that way I know we're picking food that they will eat, right? So everybody's happy with the food choices and all that stuff. Outstanding. You could be getting A pluses in all of that. You all come home and cook together and blah, 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 eat together. No television is on. Great kale and spinach and all of it. They love it. Awesome. And then they go to the friend's house. Everything is in the toilet. Like, I have seen that. And in fact, this time of year especially, because now you go to the friend's house, oh my God, they have got the Christmas tree and eggnog and Christmas cookies and Christmas ice cream and cakes and, oh, lose your mind. So, yeah, I had that right on my list. You have to be very mindful about your children's friends. We talked before about if they have white friends, right, that should just not go into their house, don't care about what they eat, blah, 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 lots of hazards. But, I mean, hey, it's lots of victims. That is a part of their victimization, where they have horrible diets filled with poison and chemicals and additives and all that. And that's, you know, what their children are going to eat. So you go over their house, they're going to be polite. You know, we're having pizza, going to McDonald's. You want to go, like, oh. So it would be maybe the type of thing where, Mo in Dallas, you're a responsible parent. You go visit. You check these folks out. You let them know. My child, you know, we have very, I wouldn't say strict. We're concerned about our child's diet. So you can just make sure that they don't have any.
We have a set diet.
Yes, there we go. Love it. He has a set diet. So we'd be really grateful if you could just help out with that. We don't do any eating out and blah, 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 whatever it is. If it's, you know, no meat or whatever you have in place. But just, you can let them know that. And you can check out to see, do they have Cheetos all over? It might be the type of thing where I don't even want you going over there. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, then I have to think about, God, did they slip any, you know, poison them? Because that stuff is addictive. That's one of the reasons how you can end up with a child who only eats french fries and chicken nuggets. Now, I just said at the beginning of the week, I don't have offspring, but I've been around children, and I worked in the school system, so I've been around, like, a lot of children. And I said, man, you've got, like, generations. Really, at first I said singular. Got a whole generation. And then I stopped and said, wait a minute. I was one of the, like, man, you've got generations of children who have grown up, like, exclusively eating chicken nuggets. And I said, like, oh, man, you're exaggerating. That's not true. They don't have that. That's, man, I don't know. Chicken nuggets are real popular. Like, I see chicken nuggets advertised, like, all the time. Chicken tenders, chicken nuggets, all of it. Like I said, I don't see bok choy and broccoli and the rest of it advertised. I have seen lots of children. I was like that, where that's the regular rotation. Chicken nuggets. Not veggies, not beets, not broccoli, chicken nuggets, french fries, and chicken nuggets. That's a meal. You can go to McDonald's, right? That's a meal. That's a lot of the fast food places. Like, that's a combo item. You get a drink and probably a toy of some sort, maybe a chocolate chip cookie and chicken nuggets.
French fries. If I heard a parent who said that she said she was with another mom, a black mom, victim of racism, and she said, oh my goodness, I gotta get my child something to eat. She had a little girl. She said, I gotta get her something to eat. Here, just go in there and get her a bunch of chicken nuggets. A bunch. Now, I don't know how much a bunch is, because they got the 20 piece and they got the 5 piece, so I don't know. I don't know what a bunch is, but nothing about that is cool, because I got that on my list too about portion control. Like, I don't think that should ever be said, like, especially for, I mean, really for any child. I wouldn't care if you had like a 16-year-old. It should not be, my 16-year-old needs a meal. Go get them a bunch of, I mean, like, no, that just, no. Portion control. Portion. The food is addictive. I keep saying that. It's addictive both in the long term, so you just keep, they get you, they hook you at 5 and 10 to where all I eat is chicken nuggets and french fries. All I eat is chicken nuggets and fries. To where you become an adult and you just chicken nuggets and fries, chicken nuggets and fries, chicken and fries. That's what you eat on a regular basis. They get you for 20, 30, 40 years. And then, you know, heart problems and high blood pressure, hypertension, diabetes, and all the rest of it with eating bad food for all those years. So, not doing that, being mindful of who your children are hanging out with, portion control, all of that, spectacular. And trying to be on the same page. I think we said, like, for years, Dr. Welsing said, play around with sex, the joke is on the offspring. It's so many things to discuss before we have children, like, what's our child's academic plan going to be? What's our child's nutritional plan going to be? Are we in sync about that? What's our nutritional plan going to be? Like, what are we eating as a tempted mother, a tempted father? Like, is all of that, and like, is so much to discuss before, you know, hitting the bedroom. There's so many things that can just be massive problems. Just food is one of many. That is certainly one you don't want to wait until your child is 13 or 14 and say, wow, like, I need to do some more thinking about, you know, what, how we're nourishing our child. Like, that is way late in the game. That's how they get lots of us. That's how you end up with lots of people who are 30 and 40 years old and trying to get their diet together, because a lot of this started when they're young. So it's really, it's one of the best things that you can do for your child to try to nip a lot of that obesity and just diet related health problems, nip that stuff in the bud. Like, really instill high quality eating habits and a high value for food, fruits, veggies at a very young age. We had someone, they wrote, it was one of the times we had Dr. Lathan on, they wrote a comment, and they said, man, indigenous people all over the world, they ate, they hunted, they ate fish, buffalo, bison, all kinds of meat products. That's crazy talk. They said, eating plant-based meals does not counter racism. Oh, no count, Gus, talking crazy. And I said, those comparisons. The diet that we eat now, chicken nuggets, is in no way, shape, form, comparable to someone going out and fishing and catching a salmon. And if you think it is, woo, we are all still learning. So you should go and get some books on nutrition, diet. Don't start with Nutricide. We read that one, but wow. I will hear that type of argument where people say, well, they ate fruits and vegetables. Number one, we're also ignoring those folks ate a lot of fruits and vegetables. If we're talking about so-called indigenous populations anywhere in the world, they ate lots of fresh fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, in addition to whatever meat products they did their fishing, hunting. But lots, fruits, grains. The young fella, Mo in Dallas, just talked about, he didn't say, I had chicken nuggets and french fries and then supplemented that with some carrots and beets and okra and watermelon that we grew. He didn't say that. He said, chicken nuggets and french fries. And I've seen lots and lots of that. But that notwithstanding, it's not comparison at all. I said the white supremacist industrialized meat complex or meat industry, white supremacy meat industry, that consumption or consuming meat products that are coming from that system is totally different than you going out and hunting deer, or if you have chicken and you raise them, you eat the eggs for them or whatever it is. That's not the same at all. And again, they have documentaries and blah, blah, blah. They go into a lot more detail about that. And the quantity, I just talked about portion control. Now, if you think the amount of food, whatever it is, if we're talking poultry, beef, fish, the quantity of meat that those individuals would be eating as opposed to what you can get now, just going to Costco where you can go get a 50-pound rack of ribs for 50 cents, or go to McDonald's and get a 20-piece chicken nugget, or what is the new thing they got, two Whoppers at Burger King for $5 or something absurd? Like, no, it is not the same at all in terms of portion, in terms of quantity, and in terms of the other fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains that would supplement their diet that is largely absent from our current diet. So it is a total false comparison. I talk about that all the time. People make comparisons. You have to investigate to make sure that it is the same. Again, I am plant-based. That's what I advocate. But again, it would still have to be lots of fruits, vegetables, whole foods, not preservatives, certainly not McDonald's. I know they have salads and things at McDonald's now. Like, you can get like apple slices, apple wedges or whatever. And I think they even have like the veggie burgers or the Impossible Burgers at McDonald's, maybe Burger King, some of those places. I guess that's like maybe a pull, like slightly better. But I mean, even that would be like, oof, I'm not going to have too many more of these. Like, if I want a salad, McDonald's is, I just had a salad. Way better than what they have at McDonald's. I made the ranch. I don't have to be worried about what preservatives and craziness they have in the ranch. I don't have to worry about how long this salad has been sitting. I just made this salad today. In fact, I made this salad literally about 10 minutes before I ate it. I'm pretty sure they don't have salads that are that fresh at McDonald's. I haven't eaten there in a long time, so I might be wrong. Let's see. Other person who had a hand up, just double check and see if they had comments here they wanted to share, or anybody else. Comments, thoughts?
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, Gus. Greetings, callers and listeners. It's a great topic. I'm really glad you're bringing this up, because I'm working on these exact same things with my attempted children, attempted offspring. And the difficult part is, for me, has been getting them off sweets. It's the bad sweets. You know, they want those power-packed sugar things. Like those, I don't know if you remember back in the days, we had those things called Nerds, where they were little packets of colorized rocks that were just sugar, basically, and all these other, like, desserts. And I'm trying my best to manage that. But my eldest is 14, my youngest is 6, and my eldest lives with me. And I've been good with him at home, but outside, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, the wing spot, like, it's almost like he feels like he needs to fill that void, and it's been a little difficult. The thing that I've noticed that helps is when he's actually doing sports. That's been the most constructive aspect of it, is when he's doing sports and he starts realizing, like, oh, I can't really eat this because I won't be able to run as fast and compete with the other children effectively. Oh, I'm just not going to eat it. And that's, the dynamic that really works so far that, that has been, that I've been trying to gear him towards. And this is with soccer and with tennis, where he's starting to notice that, yeah, it affects his overall performance. And that's one of the things I'm trying to get across. One thing you did mention, I think I'm going to have to do is introduce him to those documentaries, What the Food and all these other documentaries. Super Size Me, I think, is excellent, and as well as a host of others. But I think those two are really important. I think that's one of the things. And one suggestion that I have as well is during dinner time, just turning off devices, like putting them to the side, television, phones, and actually have conversations and ask about how was your day and all these other things. You know, currently I bought another cooking book and I'm just trying to cook with my son during the day. That's the biggest thing since I've been lucky enough to work from home. You know, the book you mentioned, I was just curious about, when did this come out? This book about, I believe it was about you are what your grandchildren eat, I believe, or your grandparents eat. I never heard of that.
It came out, let's see, recently, very recently. Let's see. And let's see, I'm looking on Amazon just to get a publication date. So this came out in 2019. Yeah, 2019. That's what I thought. Just last year. The audio clip that I played was from the end of last year. Like I said, they were in Seattle. Judith Finlayson and Kent Thornburg, where they talk about that it has such an impact. Like if you've been eating McDonald's, even what your children talked about, craving the sweet, it's addictive. Keep saying that. It is addictive. And everything that you mentioned, all the sugar in the Dunkin' Donuts. I used to love Dunkin' Donuts. Woof. The donut holes, the chocolate glazed ones, like, ugh. Man, oh man. Mm-hmm. Dunkin' Donuts. I wasn't a big wing fan, but McDonald's, chicken nuggets, all that. But like, yeah, if you've been eating all of that and it's got all the salt, it's got all the addictive qualities and it's got all that sugar in it, like it's advertised. Who doesn't want a donut? Like, let me get five of those. And if you've been eating it, it's really hard. Like, and particularly if you're a child, because like, you're not developed. Like, that's the other thing, too. Like, children, like, all the stuff is bad for everybody. It's bad for adults. It's bad for everybody. But for your child, you're still developing. So your brain computer is not fully developed. Like, your body is not fully developed. So all those chemicals and everything hitting your body at 10 and 12, mm-hmm. like, oh, that is, like, total overdrive. That probably is greatly contributing when they talk about a lot of these folks have attention deficit disorder and all that. I've been poisoned with all this food and now I'm having a difficult time thinking. Yes, that probably is a great deal of it, because I even know a whole lot of, I won't say adults, but older people who ate the same, exactly the type of food you just mentioned, the wings and ribs and the donuts and blah blah blah, and they said they would get crazy headaches. Just, you know, super, super migraines.
Yeah.
Stop eating all that.
Can I interrupt you?
Let's hear it.
No, I got to tell you right here, and this is one of the issues that I'm having, is in my household, I'm the one that's the main water drinker. I'm the one that wakes up in the morning and has a warm glass of lemon water. I've understood I've been lucky enough to have a doctor that was that did allopath medicine as well, and she suggested in the morning when you wake up, have that water, and then have a glass of warm water, or lemon juice, squeeze honey in it if you need to, but this flushes out your system, takes care of some of the salt, takes care of some of the sugar, and allows your digestive system to clear up and boost your energy level, and will allow you to go to the bathroom. Nature will call. And I've been a strong advocate of that. And then the issue I've been having is... that my household is as my attempted partners, I'm trying to get her to understand this dynamic because it influences and affects our son so much that if she doesn't start to turn and get to this stage, that it's going to affect her later on down the line. And I feel like it's a relationship with food that I think has to be nurtured first, where you have to change the relationship and take the basis of the food is there to nurture me and I can enjoy it. I can get good food that's tasty and all these other things, but I need to have things that are nourishing. And that's the most difficult part that I've been having is pushing up against that. And sometimes I fall short. Sometimes I end up ordering from, you know, some restaurant and things of that nature. But it's a consistent theme where I've been trying to make sure that our household stays disciplined with what we intake. You know, that it's a real tough one. I tell you, that's more tougher than anything else that I deal with outside. I'll tell you. And I think that if people really look at it, it's the same in most households. It's sugar and salt are dangerous, extremely dangerous. You know, that's all I'm noticing. You know, you were saying, Guts?
Addictive, you know, those. And what did I say at the beginning about the preservatives, right? A lot of times, too, with the foods that we love, the junk food, the junk of it is they cut all the corners, right? Like I said, we don't need to put 100% Parmesan cheese in it. Maybe we put 90% Parmesan cheese and then 10% sawdust. They'll never know, you know. Yeah. So they do all the cutting corners, and frequently when they cut all these corners, what they do is, well, just put some extra salt in and they'll never know. Or put some extra sugar in and they'll never know. Or put both in and they'll never know. And so you just end up with more and more salt, more and more sugar, and all of that. Lots of health problems, and it can end up, one, it's addictive. I just keep saying that. It's addictive. It's the type of thing where you end up overeating,
mm-hmm.
and then craving these foods for the rest of your life. They even have some of the other documentaries about how what we eat impacts our brain and how we think, that once you get addicted to eating these bad foods, when your brain sees the symbols like the golden arches, or they talk about not Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme donuts, when the hot donut sign is flashing, like, oh my God, people start salivating like dogs the day after, because I used to be one of those people. But again, with the sugar, because I know tons of people who say, I know older people who say that. Everybody is addicted to sugar because it's in everything. One,
yes.
Get a blender. I tell everybody that if you have a great blender, smoothies, ice cream, you can make so many desserts and use fruits, frozen fruits, if you want, you know, smoothies or ice cream, sorbets, all that stuff. It is spectacular. Mm-hmm. That is such a great alternative to just, you know, doing all the sweets and sugars and cakes and pies and blah, blah, blah. And you can, I have pumpkin pie. Like, you can make a lot of that stuff vegan, and you can use, they have coconut sugar. They have mung fruit that you can use as a direct one-to-one replacement for sugar. They have lots of recipes where you can put substantially less sugar. Like, I made sweet potato pie, and I heard it was a black female. She was saying she used to be, you know, eating all junk food. She said she used to make sweet potato pie this time of year. She would make it with 4 cups of sugar. If you're not a baker out there, thank you. That's what you're supposed to say. That's what you're supposed to say. Jesus, like, diabetes, you're going to kill us right now. And she was embarrassed to say it. You know, like, what the hell? Why do you need 4 cups of sugar in one pie? Now, I think maybe one, and I normally cheat the sugar. The people can tell you what I've never had anybody complain about the sweet potato pies that I've made at the retreat or here that I've shared with other people. The max they will have is 1 cup of sugar, and generally I cheat that. So most of the time, I won't even have 1 full cup of sugar. I've never had anybody complain, oh, this isn't sweet. I think the pumpkin pie that I made today, max 1 cup of sugar, may have been less than that. I normally cheat that. I don't know about that. I would have to let you know, but
never have complaints about any of the sweets that I do. You can adjust it. That's why I said the cooking, you can have all of that stuff. They have recipes for donuts. They have tons of them. I've been making other things, you know, pies and cinnamon rolls, but they have I'm sorry?
The thing is that I've noticed, and this is something that I've actually taken account into, is that my attempted partner, she has her mother indulges in a lot of sugar, and they still eat pork and they still eat beef, but they also get, and they don't drink enough water. Her and the mother drink water like it's, you know, like once in a while. Oh, since it's there, they'll pull it. And I'm feeling even weird talking about it, but I've been talking to both of them about it ever since I met both of them. And I'm telling them, you get migraine headaches all the time. It's because you're not drinking enough water and you're eating foods that are so addictive. What I've noticed, because they did studies on people, judges that eat certain foods, and when they ate certain foods and didn't eat lunch at a certain point, depending on the food they ate, it influenced their decisions on the cases they had. Meaningly, they weren't able to be patient enough to actually make proper decisions. So if you're eating burgers and sweet foods and all these things, and you should have it at 1 o'clock, and then you don't have it at 1 o'clock, your body's reacting to it. And when your body reacts to that, the two brains, there's the one in the gut and there's one in your head, and that one in the gut is a lot more powerful than I think people realize. And that's what I'm trying to learn more about. Again, I'm not perfect at this at all. Do not get me wrong. I'm not perfect at this at all. But I'm learning about this, and I'm just trying to encourage my household to come along with the journey, because this is not about just my legacy. This is about our whole family lineage, like just going along based on exactly what that excerpt that you spoke about. But the fact that they get migraines and they don't drink water and they eat beef and they eat pork and they eat high levels of sugar, I'm just like, you know, and this is not something that I'm saying just to you. I've said this to them both over and over and over again. It's a consistent thing where I feel like that's where the biggest fight is. You know, we could talk about all the, you know, Second Amendment rights and us as black people having guns and blah, 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 but too many of us are going off by the fork than we are by anything else. And it's hard work. It's hard work. I got to tell you that. It's not a joke. Not a joke, you know.
Can I add to that?
Mo in Dallas? Yes, sir.
Other caller, I myself, this is going to be an interesting story. I wear glasses, okay, and I used to suffer from serious, serious headaches, like just migraines, I'd have to lay down and kind of just turn off the lights and stuff to kind of calm myself. And I increased my water intake. And since I have increased my water intake, I drink about a liter and a half a day. It's not as much as I should, but it's much more than I was drinking. And since then, like my headaches have like they've pretty much been non-existent. I also noticed a change in my attitude. I used to be more impatient or less patient with people. And it's not like I was combative or anything. I just didn't really care as much as I knew I should. And I would regret it a lot of times. So I definitely agree that that you should keep fighting a good fight on advocating for water in your household. What I did, I actually, you know, people have subscriptions, you know, like Netflix and all this stuff. I went ahead and got a Nestle's subscription, and I get water delivered to the house. And I make it a point, you know, we got to drink this water. They're coming to get the jugs, you know. And I do my part, and it's helped my household increase their water consumption. I had to actually explain to them not to give the water to the dog. The dog's okay. I'm buying this for us, not her. but you know, and that little, you know, and you have like with the I don't want to give them a commercial or anything, but they have like, you know, we got a pretty good cooler. It has the hot water there and the hot water feature, so they can, you know, make teas and stuff. And they have different brands of water, so they can actually select. It's like shopping. Women love to shop, and I don't mean to sound sexist or anything, but it is something they get to participate in, and it could be something that they want. Also, there are a lot of black-owned water companies, or a few. I can't say a lot, but a few black-owned water companies that you can support, and these companies have been known. I think one is Moon Jug out of Atlanta. Moon Jug water. This water has been known to, you know, impact people that are on like dialysis. You know, they have to go to like dialysis every other day, and on weekends, you know, they have to wait 2 days. So that Sunday is a really tough day for people on dialysis. After drinking some of this water, you know, that they actually pulled out of springs and stuff, the dialysis patients, you know, they're spry. You know, the dudes are getting back with their wives. You know, so I'm the man around here. So there are things that you can do, and also the indigenous aspects of the indigenous people. A good point, Gus. This is not the same food. The indigenous people, they did not eat meat all year round. They ate meat to supplement during the non-harvest season, and they also used the entire animal, because they understood that it isn't a part of the natural diet. So, like, you know, the bones, the skin, everything, they would consume the entire animal. And the interesting thing about these animals, you know, lived off of the land. So, like, whatever was in the animals, they consumed that. They weren't full of chemicals. They weren't full of, you know, GMOs and red dye number 5. So, it's like, and I've had an argument with people too about their dietary habits and trying to make excuses. Well, the Native Americans ate buffalo, so I can eat a cheeseburger. Like, you know, it doesn't make sense. That's all I have on me in my life.
Can I say something on that too? I have a funny story about that, which is my son, Offspring, was getting his hair cut at the barbershop, and my partner, me and her were talking about what we were going to eat afterwards. And, you know, she made the comment. She was like, well, pork is off the table. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Pork is off the table. So is beef completely. And the barber, while he's cutting my son's hair, is like, well, what's wrong with pork? And I'm like, well, I don't eat pork. It doesn't do anything for you. There's nothing nutritional value, nothing coming from it. And there's no need to eat pork. And he goes, well, my grandfather ate pork, and he ate pork until he was 95, and, you know, he was perfectly fine, and there's nothing wrong with him. And I simply said to him, which is similar to what we're discussing, which is the pork that your grandfather ate the same pork that you eat today? And he looked at me and said, no, it's definitely not. I said, well, then why are you telling me to eat pork? Like, and, you know, it was one of those scenarios where I was just looking at this guy like, man, just, and what I've noticed, and I don't know if anybody else has gone through this, which is because people know my dietary habits are different and that I'm making changes, I seem to get more attacked for not eating things that everybody else is eating more than me actually going after people and going, telling them, you shouldn't eat this, you shouldn't. That's not what's happening. What's happening is the opposite, which is people are telling me, like, well, you should eat this and you should eat that, constantly judging me. But I'm trying to figure out, saying to myself, well, you don't look healthier than me, so why would I follow what you're eating? Simple logic. Why? And I've been noticing that trend going on and on and on consistently, but I think it's a theme where people feel threatened or feel uncomfortable by their dietary decisions. So they feel a need to lash out maybe on some other individual as opposed to dealing with their own, quote unquote, issues with food, their relationship with food. You know, but that's a very interesting case. And I will try to I do have a filter. I do have a blender. My son uses the blender, which I'm very happy about. And I'm trying to make sure that he uses the new cookbook that we have, and we could do it together more often. We haven't been as consistent, and that's where, again, that's my fault, because I need to make sure that things are going in the right direction when it comes to his eating habits. But thank you for that input. Greatly appreciated.
Can I add to the pork thing?
Moa Dallas.
I think it's in Japan, maybe. I'm not sure, but it's a country in Asia. One of the main meats they consume is pork, you know. Don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating for pork, but, you know, they don't have adverse effects behind the pork that they eat, because I've worked with a Japanese man, or at least a man from Asia, and he was explaining to me they eat the darker animals, like, or they prefer the darker animals. Like, you know, he's like, black chicken tastes better. Like, chickens that are black feathers, black skin, he explained to me they taste better and why. And when it comes to the pork, it's the same thing. They feed their own pigs, you know, they raise their own pigs, they slaughter their own pigs. They don't scare them before they kill them. You know, it's an entire process, a ritual, if you would, that goes into the food that they consume. So, most definitely, the pork that your barber is eating is nothing near his grandfather's pork. I'm pretty sure. I don't know how old his grandfather is, but I'm pretty sure there wasn't as many chemicals, as many hormones, as many, you know, growth additives, as many injections when your grandfather was a child. And and even if they were there, by the time he reached the age he reached, that probably conduced to how soon he did pass. And I'm pretty sure the food that he consumed before, you know, kind of armed himself for the impact of whatever bad foods he was consuming in his later time in life. That's all I have.
Good point.
Folks ate lots more fruits and veggies. They even said that this year, since the Rona, they said that lots of farmers in the U.S. have had to destroy tons of crops because people don't eat as many fruits and vegetables when they cook at home as opposed to when they eat out. Now, that tells you a lot right there. And what did I say? What do you have in your pantry? What food items do you allow into your house? What's in your refrigerator right now? What's in your freezer right now? Apparently, not very many fresh fruits and vegetables, because farmers all year, they had tons of pictures of spinach, all that. I didn't see not one where it was, oh my God, the Lay's potato chip attack factory. They don't know what's going to happen. They got potato chips just stacked up. Nobody's buying potato chips. Like, man, they just been at home eating fruit. That I haven't heard that at all. I told you, I heard that woman. She went to the Trader Joe's. She was so pitiful and pathetic, said, do you still have potato chips? She didn't say, do you still have bok choy? Do you still have any carrots? What did they say? Do you still have apples? That's not what she said. Cheetos, man. Get out of the way. I'm trying to get these pretzels. Addictive, just keeps saying.
Just remember, they were taking bets at Tyson.
Oh, that's right, about the Rona. Man, that's why I said, it depends on how old your child is. Now, if I had a four-year-old, I probably wouldn't show him that report. We probably wouldn't watch Super Size Me if I have a four-year-old. We can just kick it. Let's just go get a fruit smoothie. We'll make some vegan chicken nuggets or, you know, whatever. We'll get to that later. But if they're 14, 10, like my man said, they were addicted to the chicken nuggets. He said, well, let's see where the old chicken nugget comes from. Let's go backwards in this process. By the time they're 10, they can see that. The brain computer works. It's like, whoa, that's what they're doing for me to get this chicken nugget? Whoa, let me think. I have seen that. I mean, brain computers work. It worked for me. Like, oh, man, I don't want to eat that. I don't want to participate in that. That's logical. COVID-19 at the chicken processing plant. That would be another one. Whoa. Whoa. The Rona. Got it. Now, I have seen a few of those reports for produce facilities where they're going out to get the cherries or whatever it is, but it's been way fewer of those. It's been like I have seen numerous meat packing plants closed down because of COVID-19 positive results. I have not seen any produce processing facilities actually shut down because they had so many positive tests. I haven't seen anything like that. So, yeah, it's lots of reasons. And again, you could just show that information to your child while you all are eating something, or afterwards. Let's not gross out the meal, but after you all are nice and full, you had a great salad and maybe some toasted Brussels sprouts with some pecans and veggie meatloaf. I don't like meatloaf, but I know we have some listeners. They love the veggie meatloaf. So you're nice and full, satiated, maybe got some sweet potato pie for later. You're like, oh, yeah. Did you see the road? Well, the McDonald's that got shut down. It's a whole lot of, that's why it says, how much time do we have about why we don't eat at McDonald's? How much do the people that work at McDonald's get paid? The pink slime. The black franchise owners. Like, it would just be an endless list. Like, how much time do we have? How old is the child? Like, it shouldn't be an overkill, but I mean, at least one of those things I think will catch with most people. Like, what? They treat black workers like what? They put pink slime in the what? They pay them what? How many workers got the cook? Like, one of them is going to go, yeah. Okay, let's get the cookbook and let's get back to cooking something here. We don't need to go to McDonald's. Or, like I said, fine. It could be the hangout spot, but I'm not eating anything here. Like, I'm good. Let's see. *61, if folks have any other comments, we have any other parents, if you have a thought about being able to get your child to turn loose of McDonald's, like I said, is so much easier. And you have to be disciplined. We've heard folks talk about if you and your attempted partner are not in sync in terms of nutrition. Talking about it, that's very common. We have one person, you know, I'm eating quinoa and brown rice, kale, spinach, hemp seeds. And this part, I'm going to KFC. I have seen quite a bit of that, or at least, you know, it'll be multiple people in the family that are not on the same page. But it's especially different if the two parents are on totally, you know, separate wavelength about all of this. The best, I love the suggestion about you just keep trying in a very loving, patient manner, modeling as best you can all the way, but encouraging. I love it, and getting the water cooler and things like that that make it convenient and easy to want to be about, you know, trying to be healthier, drink more water and eating better. Love it. That's why I say the cookbooks and things, anything where we can be excited, you know, about this process, I think is fantastic. But just trying to be consistent in terms of what you do, and if you have a younger child, like I said, not getting it started from the beginning, brilliant. Once they've been doing it, just and talking to them like, hey, what you eat is hugely, if you have like a 14-15 year old, I'm sure they've seen some of the Rona reports and everything about that this year and how it's impacting folks and all that. So hey, we should have been doing better about this. I need to be doing better about this. We as a household are going to do better about this. That's why we're making these changes, or whatever, you know, spiel you want to put about that. But communicate in terms of why this is, and then it's just being consistent. Our caller was talking about, you know, wanting to do better about getting that cookbook and cooking together and all that. Just being consistent and showing that this is going to be a regular part of our lives. This is not a fad. This is not just, you know, for a couple months or what have you. This is the life of a attempted counter-racist. Is I am mindful about what I eat every time I put a fork in my mouth, spoon in my mouth, chopsticks in my mouth, whatever it is. I'm mindful about what I eat. And I love eating delicious food. Everybody loves eating delicious food. We wouldn't have taste buds if we were just supposed to eat like gruel every time down, right? But it should be equal. Healthy, delicious, equal. Like, I'm not about trading off the deliciousness or the healthiness. Like, it easily can be both and should be both. So, and you can do that. Like, it's no reason anybody should think that just because there's no dairy in this, or because there's no meat in this, that it's going to be bad, that it's not going to taste good, that it's not going to taste excellent. So, yeah, I'm all about eating great and having people be excited about food. People at the retreat, we were excited about the banana pudding, not thinking that this is going to be some old knockoff imitation banana pudding. Like, no, we got cracking banana pudding with everything. The whipped cream, vanilla wafers, the whole nine. Like, same thing with the sweet potato pie and pineapple upside down cake. Like, I certainly don't say that you eat that all day, every day, like, same way I would if it was regular, but I mean, you can have all that stuff. There's no need that you need to miss out on. And if anything, I will tell anybody, I eat way better. Like, it's not even close. In terms of me being vegan, plant-based, I eat way better than what I eat when I just, you know, ate whatever. You know, like I said, let's go to the 7-Eleven, get a hot dog and some pork rinds and, you know, all the way hit my man that's with the chicken nuggets and french fries. Sounds like a dinner to me, my man. Pass the ketchup. Like, I'm right there 1,000%. Like, I would have never said, let's make cheddar biscuits. No way. Let's go to Red Lobster and order it. I'll eat, you know, 50 of them, but make cheddar biscuits? No way. Like, not at all. Potato soup, or I'll just stick with the desserts I made. Sweet potato pie, I don't think I'd made. Had I made a sweet potato pie before? I don't think I'd made a sweet. I've eaten a number of them, but I don't think I'd made a sweet potato pie from scratch before. Cinnamon rolls. I never made cinnamon rolls before. Like, I did not eat, or I didn't cook at all, and I did not eat this well. Like, I eat way better since being plant-based. I cook way more and cook way better and just appreciate cooking. Like I said, so many of the things that I have enjoyed eating, and even some of the things now that I come to eat on a regular basis, like veggie chickpea pot pie. That is one of my favorites. I generally make that at least once a month, sometimes twice a month. You can't buy that at the grocery store. Like, they have all the chicken pot pies in the frozen section and everything, but to actually make a pot pie from scratch, like, and then you can put the exact vegetables that you want in it, like whatever veggies you like, bam, put it in there, make it spicy if you want, and ridiculous. Like, yeah, just enjoy being able to cook, and to cook things that are healthy, that will not kill you, are not going to compromise your immune. Because I feel like it shouldn't be, I'm eating something that tastes great, but now I'm going to feel bad. My man said his son's like, oh man, I eat this and tastes great, but now I go to practice and I'm terrible. Like, I'm better than this. I'm a better player than this. But now my serve is off. I can't even do anything. I can't return the volleys because I had that cheeseburger. I had that pork sandwich. Now I can't even get off the baseline. I'm all sluggish. I got the itis. That never happens on a plant-based diet. Like, I can have I'm trying to think of more pizza. We had pizza at the retreat. That was night one. We had pizza, salad. I made a balsamic vinaigrette dressing, and we had pineapple upside down cake with whipped cream for dessert. I don't recall anybody, myself included, wondering, like, oh, I can't move. Oh, I'm stuck. Oh, I got to roll. Get me in a wheelbarrow and roll it. None of that. I'm full. I ate. I'm good. Like, I don't need anything else. I'm great until tomorrow morning, but not like I'm stuck. I can't move around. Like, none of that. Like, you can eat well, be energized. That's what I said. For children, all it is getting off that addiction. Like, McDonald's, it'll be so many things that are associated because they have the birthday party. McDonald's is like the worst because they get you in so many ways. They get you, reel you in with the birthday party, so you'll have the experience of hanging out with your friends there and playing and all that. And then you get all that sugar and the salt and everything. You get the toy on top of it, so it's like you got a present. And they might have the clowns hanging out there with Ronald McDonald and the Hamburglar and all the rest. So it's lots of different layers. And then they got all the lights and everything. It's lots of layers around, you know, what goes into McDonald's and how that pulls you, in addition to all the poisons and chemicals in the food. It's lots of layers to it. Avoiding it totally would be absolutely best, but if you have been hooked in it, most of it is just going to be getting over the chemical addiction. Like, you can put down new memories. You all can make recipes together and cook together, eat without the television. I'm so glad that was said. No eating with the TV on. Like, it should be, this is totally like sacred time. Like, we got our food and we prepared it together and we're going to sit down and just eat and talk about our day, talk about the food, talk about, you know, what we want to do, talk about getting rid of racism, like whatever, but no television, like not on, muted, totally off, no devices. We're not going to sit here and, how are you going to eat and be texting at the same time? Like, come on, you got gravy all over the screen. Come on, no phones, no devices.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to expound on that a little bit, is that I noticed the difference from my household when I, you know, it was something that I, you know, in prior relationships that I was incorrect on. And then once I noticed I shut off the TV during dinner time, it became a different level of respect that I had for the idea of even just having a family and creating this level of communication where I would be able to ask my offspring and go, how was your day? What did you do? Did any teacher show any kind of racist remarks or do anything towards you? And then go around the table and ask everybody, how was their day? It really gives you a level of, quote unquote, I don't know if the word is right, but I think more intimacy and more connection with your family, as opposed to this distance that's created when you're all sitting around the table fidgeting on your devices. Like, it was a really big awakening. And now, even when I make, like, I literally was on the line and we had dinner while I was on the line, and everybody, you know, my significant other was like, oh, now you're on your phone? You know, now she's so used to it that she even she chastises me when I'm on the phone. But I, you know, obviously I'm on the call to get involved in this podcast, but that was a very big step, and it was the least difficult. And that's how I know that everything else later on down the line will get better, because they made that adjustment to get off their devices, no TV, and just have conversations and just talk, laugh, and enjoy each other's company. It was a very, very important aspect of counter-racism to me, because I then really learned that my son didn't understand what racism was and was still learning, because of his definition was coming from school and his teachers rather than from our household. So with that said, I'll just mute my line. But that was a very, very important aspect of counter-racism, just shutting off the TV while you're having dinner and just asking questions of your family and to see how they're doing. Thank you.
Much obliged, sir. I'll just say, I think a lot of, I won't say always, because you certainly can, you know, do DoorDash and, you know, get whatever delivered and sit down at the dining table and take all the styrofoam off and unbox everything and sit down and do it. You certainly can still do that and ask all the same questions and commune with your family. That can be done, but it's just been my experience that a lot of times that can greatly, it's like there's already a devaluation to the whole nourishing eating experience. It doesn't generally take a whole lot to get from there to, oh, let's eat in front of the TV. We got the DoorDashers here. Let's go sit, you know, in front of our giant 60-foot screen and, you know, eat and talk, or excuse me, no talking. Just eat and watch whatever it is we're going to. I mean, hey, that I've done it myself, but I mean, that is very different than looking into each other's eyes, your attempted family members, quietly eating. Talk about the food. What do we like? What do we not like? What did you eat today? As you said, school, all of that, and just looking and learning about each other while we nourish, eat our meal. That's totally different. And I mean, yeah, that is a much better, I think, more, I mean, if you want to talk about whole foods and being wholesome, that is a much more wholesome experience. And I think I had just said before, that television being on, like, man, 10 times out of 9, that's the way I meant to say it, it's going to be a McDonald's commercial. Some sort of chicken nugget something, Whopper something, Pizza Hut something is going to be flying across the screen. Even if you're watching a movie, it's probably still going to be some chicken nugget something, Whopper something, Big Mac something flying across the screen. Like the food manipulation and deception is ubiquitous in the system of white supremacy. So you should be trying to get that television turned off as much as possible anyway. Definitely, when it's time to eat, TV off. Yes, let's just kick it with each other. Talk to the family. One of the things I appreciated most about the retreats, we didn't have the TV on when we ate, but frequently we wouldn't even be talking during the meals. Obviously, we did talk sometimes, but sometimes just the food was so good, it was just silence. Like, just kind of stunned, muted admiration. Like, oh, this is so good. And then people started talking a little bit once they finished eating. But the carrot hot dogs, I remember that was one, like, it pin drop silence, which is great, too. If everybody is just so elated with what's on the table, then grand. We can just sit here and, you know, enjoy our little moment of ecstasy together and let the meal pass. But yeah, talk, get to know, make sure we are connected. Like, we the system of white supremacy promotes so much disconnection, being disconnected from ourselves, and just having to blunt our feelings and thoughts about so much. Disconnected from one another, disconnected from what we eat. I don't even know where this came from, how this got to be a chicken nugget or a hot dog or even that, whatever it is. I'm just eating it. give me combo number 4. Right. Disconnected from what we eat, much less all of that, and disconnected in terms of how that food is going to impact me and my body. Is this what I'm eating? Is this nourishing my body so that I can be have the best quality of life 50 years from now? Or is what I'm eating right now, is this something that's jeopardizing whether I'm going to be here in 50 years? And what we heard, you are what your grandparents ate, is what I'm eating right now even jeopardizing my offspring's quality of life, my grandchild's quality of life? And disconnected from each other, where we're not even, you know, paying attention to other people and what's happening with them. We're not totally, you know, just watching TV or whatever else, playing video games, waiting on the PS5 to get here so we can play some new games. Like, all of that is a part of the system of white supremacy. Turn off those devices. Yeah, they can be constructive. You can learn a lot and all that. And they said the screen time has gone up, like, explosively since the shutdown and everything with COVID-19, especially for younger people. So, yeah. Definitely, if that can at least be one time where there should not be a pressing need to have the TV on, any other devices, cell phone, like, we're eating. I don't think we need to swipe anything right now. We're eating. No phone. You can talk. You don't have to talk about racism, but that certainly is always a topic that needs to be explored. But yeah, have fun. Chat it up. Try to get encourage more drinking water and see what people are reading. See if they maybe found a book other than The Hate U Give. Did folks have any other comments on the topic? Again, I think hugely important because, I mean, I was overweight, eating bad food. It could have easily been that there was no flood and I didn't change my diet and, you know, start doing yoga to take care of myself. It could have easily just been puttering along, bad weight, eating poor foods, and, you know, who knows what happened. You don't want to have to. That's something that you don't want to have to wait too many years to have to correct. It would be much better to start off from the beginning with correct nutritional habits, having really healthy food rituals that do not involve eating food products that are heavily advertised on television and elsewhere, does not involve sitting down and having your meal around a big screen, eating more fruits veggies, meals where you actually prepared the food or were at least in the kitchen when the food was prepared and you could pronounce all the names of the ingredients in the meal. You do not need a dictionary or any help with pronunciation. That's what we're shooting for. That's giving you, again, so that you have the will and ability. Racism, white supremacy, they efficiently rob the vitality of non-white people. This is about making sure we are fueled to have the energy to replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Anything else folks have to share?
Can I add something?
Mo in Dallas.
Thank you. The thing about screen time, the day after last Thursday, the holiday known as Thanksgiving, we did indulge in ways. I do have a rather moderate sense. Quick story about that day. Counter racism actually came up. This isn't the point of the story, but my nieces, I have two nieces that are over the age of 18, and they were complaining about their mother, my older sister, my big sister. She's the firstborn, and I had a chance to explain it to them because they were upset at her behavior, and I had to explain. I got the pleasure of explaining to them that day that her behavior is one that she was conditioned to have. I explained to them about their qualities. You know, I have very artsy types of nieces. You know, one draws, one designs clothes and things like that. And I was like, well, these are all qualities your mother had when she was, you know, younger and before you guys were born. And I had to explain, you know, the life impacted her in such a way that kind of, you know, has her trying to survive it, if you will. And they kind of understood that. And so now the actual story, no screen time. We weren't on the phone, obviously, when we were having a conversation. I think the TV was off as well. But the day after, I took my children to the lake. And my son asked me, why were we there? And I was like, to do exactly what we're doing now. And we started talking. We had a great conversation. He actually looked up, saw the sky, and it was a beautiful sky. You know, we talked about the colors that were there. There was it was around dusk. So we saw the sun like seeping behind the clouds and rays were like coming through. And I was like, okay, that looks good. What does it look like? And they were like, heaven. And I was like, yes. And we saw purple. And it was like, it was everybody's favorite color was in the sky. It was such a good time. And we wouldn't have had that, you know, if we definitely wouldn't have looked up if everybody were looking at their phones and not outside. So the cutting down of screen time is a great thing. And that's all I had to add. I mute my line. Oh, we also watched white people. Very good. Very interesting, too. They were at the lake, and they were working out. Something to note. We were walking. They were running. I heard one lady playing a Little John song. It was kind of strange, but it was a very interesting day. That's all I have. I mute my line.
Wacky. Always great when you get to study white people. And I'd say always great when you can get experiences without the screens, TV and computer and all of that, even though it would be impossible to do this program if I weren't sitting in front of a screen right now, or several, actually. But that nonetheless, I did get time away from the screens today. And it was actually sunny, so I got time outside in the sun and everything, which is, you know, super wild for this area of the year. But, yeah, get outside, especially with the offspring. Enjoy. Get away from the screens. If you can get outdoor time and then meal time with no screens, spectacular, and then see if you can build on it from there. But hopefully we can do more just to try to encourage parents, especially everybody really in terms of eating well, but especially parents, because that book, the full title, You Are What Your Grandparents Ate, What You Need to Know About Nutrition, Experience, Epigenetics, and the Origins of Chronic Disease. Thought the last portion of that title was important, The Origins of Chronic Disease, in a book that is about food. That's why we did the program today. That's why. Super important. Get your children out of McDonald's. Like, that is the counter-racist move. Like, that's way better than going out and protesting in the street and tweeting Black Lives Matter or anything. Registering to vote, in my opinion. Like, wow. Getting your child's nutrition together so that they eat well, they use logic, they don't eat at McDonald's, and they have great logic. It's not just, I don't eat at McDonald's because Dad said, you know, he'll beat the heck out of me if I, you know, come in here with a Big Mac. Like, oh, no, I do not ever intend on eating at McDonald's. I know that's a component of racism, white supremacy. I do not get down with the pink slime. All the rest of it, like, they don't treat the workers well. They had the Rona, and blah, blah, blah. They have a long list of reasons, or even just one of those is enough. Like, I don't care about the pink slime, and I don't care about the Rona, but I do intend on living a long time, and I don't think eating McDonald's is going to keep me on the planet, so nah, I don't do that. Whatever reason they need to latch on to, it is all about universal man, universal woman, and in that, eating correctly. That's it. We'll be here Thursday for the juice. The run of his life, The People vs. O.J. Simpson. Jeff Toobin, I am so excited. Man, Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Back to the juice. If folks have any thoughts, parents, if you have any tips to share about, you know, steering your children away from McDonald's, drop an email, untiljustice@gmail.com. Much obliged for folks tuning in this evening. Hope it was worthy of your time and energy. I hope you got to eat something really delicious. The cheddar biscuits. What can I say, man? Cheddar biscuits. Whew. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We will need our brain computer to solve this problem. In addition to being sober, let's hunker down. We got through, I guess, one portion of the horror day and all that, but another one is rapidly approaching. In addition, we got massive restrictions with the Rona, all kinds of shutdowns from California to New York. It's lots of reasons. If you got to go out, I would be very vigilant. Just keep your head up. Be alert about what's happening around you. If it looks like somebody's being rowdy, if they're upset about a parking place, or if they're shopping and they're out of items, or whatever it is, it's a long line. We're not getting into any verbal confrontations with folks out in public. If you have to get assistance from someone who works there or security or whatever, that's fine, but no verbal confrontations. And if it looks like somebody is getting loud, hostile, you should be thinking this person could be armed. I recommend, once it gets to that point where they've getting loudy, let's call this an outing. We're not taking any unnecessary risks in 2020 or 2021, basically. We've already had enough dangers. Call it a trip. Call enforcement officials or what have you if you need to, but there's just no reason to try to escalate with somebody. You have no idea if this person is with 10, 20 other people who are also armed. Stay safe, and I would share that with, you know, if you have other folks that you care about as well. We're sober. If you gotta go out, you're buckled and alert. If you are driving, you are not on your cell phone. Again, just trying to do the small things that we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no, and not on the cell phone, because we got to be alert, right, of what's happening around us. All of that said, Creator, We ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Shut I'm a up. Victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.